have to stand up strong, face the truth about themselves, to understand what went wrong. I know we can find a way, I know we can find a way, I know we can find a way to stand up, stand up, stand up.
Uniting the races with truth instead of dividing them with lies. We're also rebuilding the family by rebuilding the man. I am Jesse Lee Peterson. Good morning. Hi, y'all. You can get involved by calling 888-775-3773-888-77-JESSE. J-E-S-S-E. And my biblical question, the biblical question, are you violating God's laws? Are you violating God's laws? Amazing question. We have every way that you can watch and support the show listed on jesseleepeterson.com/show. jesseleepeterson.com/show. And if you're running around and doing whatever it is you're doing, but you would still like to listen to the show as it is happening, you can podcast and listen on your phone while you're moving about by calling the listen line on TalkStream Live at 605-615-41. 601-605-615-4131. And to donate and have your comments read out loud, go buy me a coffee. Buy me on coffee.com/JLP talk. buymeoncoffee.com/JLP talk. Or Bun JLP Cash App. Bun JLP Cash App. It's Thursday. Hey, and don't forget to like these videos. And happy White History Month, by the way. Happy White History Month. It's been amazing so far. We need to go on Truth Social, whatever Trump website is called, and encourage him, ask him to declare July White History Month, all right? July White History Month. If everybody went on there and reminded him, if possible, before he leave the White House. Otherwise, I don't know if it will ever happen. Anyway, it's Thursday. And because we love the Bible Thumpers, every Thursday is Bible Thumper Thursday.
All right, brother, are you ready? He's drunk as a badger. Go ahead. Let that Holy Ghost language come up out of you. Go ahead.
Amazing. Bible Thumper Thursday. I was thinking about or reflecting on yesterday, I believe it was yesterday, someone called the Bible inflatable. They say the Bible is inflatable word of God. infallible. That's what you are to me, infallible. Not flattable, fattable. I'm just being told right now. And I know Hate mentioned what the word inflatable means. He looked at AI. And I'm black and slow, so I may be missing it. I'm not getting how can a book, the Bible's important in that you should read it, not to remember, but read it. But how can paper, a book, be infallible? And how can that be? And I'm thinking, because somebody have told the religious people, the Christians, that the Bible is infallible. And now people worship the Bible. They think the Bible is their sword. And I'm being told right now from Merriam-Webster, Derek just listened to me, infallible means incapable of making mistakes. Of being wrong. Well, there's so many mistakes in the Bible. So it can't be infallible if it have mistakes all in it. How can it be infallible with mistakes? Human beings wrote the Bible. And human beings make mistakes, whether intentionally or unintentionally. So I really want to know, why do you think a book is infallible? I want to know. And I want to know because I'm black and slow and I may be missing something. And paper and the ink on the paper wears out after a while. It gets old, it crumbles. And it disappear. So, why are you so willing to believe anything like that? Anything that's not true? Really? And there are so many people stuck on this idea that Jesus is God. Because somebody told them that. When will you know for yourself what the truth is? You can know for yourself. I want you to really think about this. People walk around with a book. Which is important. The Bible is important. You should read it. But they call it infallible, and they worship a book. And then God said, you shall have no other God but him. Zero other. And they have made the Bible their God. And I'm not trying to convince you to change your mind, because if you want to have that idea in you and live that way, you have a right to. You have a right to. And Derek, my producer, is telling me, Jesus forgave sin. That's God power. Jesus did not forgive sin. It's the Father in Jesus that forgave us. Forgave your sin. Only God can forgive. God forgive as we forgive others. So we forgive, Does that make us God? I understand, though, once you believe something, unless you really, really want to see the truth in it, you're not going to see it. But for those men and women who are working on themselves and discovering the truth within, you'll be fine. Most won't. Most will not. Common sense just ain't common sense anymore in this old world. Amazing. 2 Timothy says, 1-7, for God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. So overcome fear. And the way you overcome fear and recognize that you have fear, recognize that you have fear and do nothing about it. Live with it, walk with it, go to bed with it, get up with it, drive with it, stay with it, but just be aware of it. And go about your day, go about your life, and it will work itself out if you don't run from it or if you don't try to do something about it. Do you have the courage, true courage, to give up your fears, your emotions, your thoughts? All thoughts are all lies all the time. Do you have the courage to give it up? You want courage? That's what real courage is, to give up your thoughts, which are not your own, and your emotions, which are not your own. Thoughts and emotions are connected. You get rid of the thoughts, you will overcome the emotions. Your stress, your depression, suicidal thoughts, jealousy, strife, envy. For those who want to overcome, I realize most don't. Want for nothing. Want for nothing. Only love was right, the truth, God, with all your heart, soul, and might, first, and with nothing or no one else. No other thing. People, place, or thing, and love your enemy, you'll be fine. You will really be fine. Everything will work out on your behalf. Even in Hebrew 13:5, let your conduct be without covetousness. Let your conduct be without covetousness. Be content with such things as you have. Be happy with what you have. And don't be looking over at someone else wishing you had what they have or feeling less than because you don't have it. For he himself said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. The truth will take care of you, but you don't trust the truth. You trust the lie. You trust the lie. You rather be jealous because you don't have what someone else have, and then you get revenge or try to get revenge on the people. Or it's like the socialist people, the communist people. Socialist, communist people are very jealous of capitalism. They're very jealous of it. And rather than overcoming that, they try to destroy the capitalism. they try to destroy the people that believe, or just know that capitalism is the right way to go. And you have people who are coming from socialist, capitalist country, coming into America, wanting everything free, and then trying to destroy the thing that made it possible to get stuff, capitalism. It's the darnest thing I ever seen. It's also interesting in that the socialist people are able to come into America like they've done with Europe and South Africa and really just take over the government and do what they want with our government. They come into a foreign land and take it over. What a mess. I want to give you an example how human nature cannot be satisfied. Speaking of covetousness, and to men who try to satisfy women, or you make them your god, and you can never satisfy a woman. You can't satisfy anyone. That's up to the individual, the adult themselves. I want you to hear how this female says that she has a husband. This is from Tracy XO on YouTube. And they were having this conversation, a panel discussion. And a female stood up in the audience, according to this report, and asked whether it is worth staying with a man who is a good provider. Is it worth staying with a man who is a good provider, paying all the bills, taking care of the children? Watch this.
What's your name? What's your question?
Hey, my name is Roberta. My question is a man who is willing to take care of you, the kids, and the household, but has no ambition worth staying with?
What you mean don't have? Hold on, wait a minute.
When you say take care of, what do you mean?
Like, he pays all the bills, he take care of the kids, he step in.
How he do that with no ambition?
Because...
It sounds like the ambition don't look like you want it to.
I want to, like, be a homeowner one day. I want property. I want, you know, no, he got money.
He got money.
But I want more.
You know what?
And he's complacent.
Okay.
Yeah.
Amazing, huh? Never, ever, ever, ever. Try to satisfy your God, the female. It won't happen. Amazing, huh? Remind me of Eve. Jealous of Adam and wanted more. Here is a response from the male panel. Watch this.
Can we gonna first give attention, and I'm gonna validate your feelings before I move forward. It's not about whether or not a man can take care of the bills or whatever the case may be. You desire a man that achieves, that wants more, that goes afterwards. And I'm going to just say this one thing before we go further. Be careful what you ask for. There are so many women that want a man that has ambition until you find out that ambition and quest for it is bigger than his affinity to you. And that you will come second place to that man's ambition. So before we get into your question, I just want you to know that you find a man with ambition, you better be prepared to deal with it.
I don't know what that means. the man is taking care of his family, according to her. The woman, the female. What does it mean?
That if he becomes this ambitious person she wants, he won't have time for her. Then and she might not like it, actually.
Oh, I see.
That she'll regret it.
Oh, then she'll be bitching about that.
Right.
You're never home. You're always working. Yeah. The kids need you. Lying about the kids need it. Amazing. Here's a female on the panel push her back against the audience member.
You got a man that's taking care of you. He's taking care of the kids. He's taking care of the house. And you're sitting up here asking, is he even worth me staying with him? You're not going to understand the magnitude of asking a question like that until that man looks at you and asks if it's worth staying with you.
Now, don't get me wrong.
Do you know what it looks like outside? Do you know how many women are taking care of themselves and taking care of them house, their houses and their kids without a man present that wants to be that partner in that season? Ambition is beautiful. Ambition is a beautiful thing, but partnership is amazing. Having somebody that's willing to be in that with you. I think that is disgusting how we discard people based on a comparison of what we think love is supposed to look like. Is it worth me staying with my man that's taking care of me, my kids, and my house? In the year 2025, when the job market is cooked, when the housing market is cooked, when people are walking away from their children, you got somebody at home that is paying your bills. He is taking care of you, and he is taking care of your kids, and you are figuring out, should I leave him? Are you cool?
Amazing. How come they got to play that music? It's not like... It's
church music.
It's irritating. Like music. What?
Sounds like church music.
Yeah, and then they play this song like church music, good at the point. And then it's all, and then they're speaking like they're in church. That's not normal. What the? It makes you want to, for the whole conversation to ever be over. Amazing. And here's the last soundbite, and I'm sorry to impose this church-like thing on you folks. I had not heard any of this before now. Otherwise, I don't know if I would have played it. The audience member says she make more money than her husband.
Okay, go ahead.
I make my own money. I make more than him.
Ooh.
Right? So I'm not saying I'm some bum that can't take care of my kids, can't take care of the household, nothing like that. He's a good man. But I feel like if he lock in with me, we could be so much greater.
Can I ask
but
one?
But he won't lock in with me, and that's the problem.
So you're the man of the relationship.
I'm not the man in the relationship.
Hold on.
I submit to him.
Y'all calm down.
Hold on, everybody. Scenario. Hold on, look to your left and right.
See our potential together.
Okay. Okay.
That's the thing. I see what we could be. I see our potential together.
I got you.
He cool with where we at right now, right, so, with some, like, regular stuff.
So let me...
respond
to regular do you want me to respond to regular degular?
No, what she's the whole thing, what
regular
she's saying.
Regular
degular. I don't even know
what's wrong with regular degular.
I wonder what the husband gonna, or what did he think about it if he heard this conversation?
To be honest, the only thing I'm thinking of as a response, because it's like the obvious stuff is like, you just want too much, blah, blah, blah. But I think for me, it's just like this idea of ambition. It's just they think it's good. They have this assumption that ambition is just good. We don't have because you're lazy. You're not doing enough. But I don't think ambition is good. Like, for example, Trump, I don't see him as an ambitious person.
Right.
Ambition is closer to greed and avarice. So
this female is on an ego trip. Vain. Vanity. Like never before. And she's on an ego trip. Now she's bragging, I make more money than him. So if this man is taking care of his family, providing for his family. And then she's making more money than him. What else does she want? What a mess. She's vain. That's vanity standing there and talking. That's pride. She's bragging. It's all vain. It's all vanity. She's getting attention from the audience. She's getting thrills from carrying on like that. That's all that is. That's vanity. That man should, if this whole thing is true, if it's true, that man should take, after hearing that, take his children and leave her. When she get home, he should be gone. Or since she's not happy with where they live, he should put her out. You vain little heifer. Go get your own place then. I'll keep my children here. We love where we live. What a mess. This is why, so I'm wondering if she works or not. Because if he's working and providing for his family, she should be at home taking care of his children. So it sounds like she's working. She says she makes more money than him. And she says something like, I believe she says she obeys him or something like that. How you obeying your husband at work? How do you obey your husband when you think you make more money than him? When you are on this ego trip, I want more. He is not ambitious enough. He's taking care of me and the family, though. What the? The world gone crazy. Grandpa, tell me about the good old days. That church music got to go, though, folks. What a mess, huh? Earth is not heaven. And man / woman is not God. Look what you get. You should only have one God, along with nobody else or nothing else, to love what's right with all your heart, soul, and might, along with nothing else or no one else. You should only have one God. That's all the way the law is going to work for you. It's not going to work for you if you do it any differently. If you love anybody, even your own children, look how men and children are being taken away from them by the mothers, and the men trip out. They take it hard, and they'll do anything to be with the children because you made them your God. You should only have one God. Because any other God will control, small g, but it will control you. I got to take a quick break. When I come back, your phone calls, 888-7753-773, 888-77-JESSE. Back in a moment.
I just wanted to call you and give an update on my life.
Okay.
I recently got a job as a maintenance manager. 3 weeks in, I'm now the GM of that park. I'm doing, the silent prayers, always keeping present. There's no way that I would have been ready for this position even 6 months ago if it wasn't for counseling with you one-on-one in my relationship with the Father. You have changed my life dramatically, brother, and I love you for it. And my wife loves you. We love all your crew. You guys are doing amazing work, and I just wanted to give you that update.
Well, right on. Congratulations. And again, you just take it one moment at a time, one day at a time, and let things unfold, and they will. And do not take anything personal from anyone. Don't get angry, resentful, or anything like that, and you'll be fine no matter what. Bible Thumper Thursday, 888-775-3773. The Women's Forum tonight. It is the third Thursday of July, and July is White History Month. Ladies Forum tonight at 7 p.m. And if you missed Bill on Punching TV yesterday, podcast it. Punchy, P-U-N-C-H-I-E .TV. Punchy.TV. Amazing, huh? It was interesting, to say the least. Bill on Punchy. And check out our merch. Amazing merch. Go to JesseLeePeterson.shop. We have the Silver Coin, celebrating 250 years of America. My face is on it. Watch this. Hi, I'm Jesse Lee Peterson. 2026 marks 250 years of America, and they have put my face on this beautiful silver coin to commemorate this occasion. That's amazing. Call 800-411-2663. That's 800-411-BOND. Grab yours now before they are gone. Amazing. JesseLeePeterson.shop. And while you're getting a silver coin, it's a good investment. You can get some punchy coffee right there at JesseLeePeterson.shop. And the coffee, my own coffee. And it's so good. Made you want to holler. And then get the books. So you have your investment with the coin, you're drinking some amazing coffee, and you're reading amazing books. Everything is amazing. You're reading amazing books. And I will sign them for you. And then, since it is White History Month, you're going to have on your beautiful merch. Your amazing hats. July just feel white. Happy White History Month. Mugs and t-shirts. Amazing, huh? And then you're going to wear, scroll on down on the Punchy, JesseLeePeterson.shop, and you're going to get mugs and t-shirt. Shirt just says, stay with it, stay with it, stay with it. Remember to stay present. And don't forget the mugs and the t-shirts and everything. Tote bags. Go to JesseLeePeterson.shop or RebuildingTheMan.com/stores. All right? Amazing. Don't forget to like these videos. I want to go to, let's see here. Let's go to Josh out of Georgia. Georgia on my mind. Josh, happy White History Month. You're on the air.
Hey, Happy White History Month, Jesse.
Amazing. Thank you.
Yes, sir. I was calling to answer the biblical question.
Are you violating God's laws?
No.
And why do you say no, you're not?
Because it's like the things I want to do, I don't do, and the things that I don't want to do, I do. And so I don't take credit for, like, stuff I do. Yeah, it definitely looks like I'm violating, you know, physically, but something in me knows not to, like, that's some kind of illusion to.
Okay. So, yeah. You know you're not, because the things you want to do, you don't, and the thing you don't want to do, you say?
Yes.
Okay. That's amazing. I want to respond, but I got to wait until Sunday if the Lord is willing and the creek don't rise.
All right. And I had a comment to a question, kind of.
All right.
I've been counting my chews when I chew food.
Oh, and nice.
You gave that advice to Mimi at the end of church, and it's like, I try to do at least 20 chews and to slow me down. Is that different for different foods, though? Because, like, if I'm eating oatmeal, you don't need that many chews. But if I'm eating steak, you know, you may need 30 or 40 chews per swallow.
Well, the whole purpose of that is to remind you to remember why you're eating, that you won't go unconscious. And so you're right. If you have soft food, you're not going to need that many chews.
Okay.
But, but the whole thing is, even when you're eating soup or whatever, I want to encourage you to just be aware that you're eating the soup rather than getting so caught up with the soup.
Right.
And forget that you're the present. And you'll find yourself eating less, and your food digested better because you don't put such an overload on your digestive system.
Yep. And, you know, there was a, my coworker told me they found a truck driver at the truck stop. They found him dead in his truck, and he had choked on a hot dog.
Wow.
Just from eating, So I see myself wolfing my food down too much, but can, if you really go unconscious, you can choke on a hot dog and just die, you know?
You gotta die. Well, may his soul rest in peace. What the?
Yeah, man.
That's amazing story. Wow. What do you think?
It's not even about... Go ahead.
You read the Bible?
No.
You don't ever read the Bible?
Never.
Have you ever read the Bible?
Yeah, I grew up on reading it, and it traumatized me from it, and I don't want to have nothing to do with Christianese and Christian talk. Yeah, I don't, you know, I don't. I mean, I listen to Hake and you, and that's how I learn different things about the Bible. But I like to... like the real world applicability. I don't like to just learn the words and.
But there's nothing wrong with reading the Bible. You just want to read it consciously as well, because, there are some things in the Bible that point you back to the Father in you. Mm. And I understand what you mean by you being traumatized, but get over the trauma, man.
Yeah.
There's nothing wrong with reading it sometimes.
Okay.
Amazing.
I don't even. Yeah. Okay. Let me try it.
Yeah. All right, Josh. Thank you, man.
No problem. Thank you, man. Appreciate it.
Bye now. Hey, what is a Unitarian?
Okay. So I've heard this
Okay, so I think that it means, without looking at the AI, that there is a Unitarian believes that there is one God, as opposed to a Trinitarian, which thinks that there is three in one.
Oh.
Three in, quote unquote, one.
I thought that,
that all three are God.
I thought.
Oh, like Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.
So
I think a Unitarian, and then I'll look at the AI. I think a Unitarian thinks only the Father is God, and that the Son and Holy Spirit, though united with the Father, are not God.
So a Unitarian is a Baptist? Because the Baptist religion don't teach that Jesus God.
I don't know about that.
They teach that. I grew up a Baptist.
That doesn't mean anything, because I grew up a regular Christian. Like, went to a Presbyterian church, a friend's church, but we weren't Presbyterians or friends or whatever. And I'm asking the AI just now, you prompted me. And the AI says, yes, Baptists absolutely believe that Jesus is God. But I grew up, and they weren't saying that when I was a kid either.
Right, me either.
Maybe occasionally, like some of the people who would sing Christian songs, quote unquote, would say that or whatever.
I never heard Jesus was God growing up. And I was a Baptist.
Mm-hmm.
And they said he was the Son of God. God is the Father. Jesus is the Son. They never said he was God. So that must have changed too then. Unless AI lying. You got that from AI, right?
Yeah. So, I think that maybe they just weren't pushing. Maybe they kind of thought it, but weren't really thinking it or saying it.
I would have heard it at some point.
No. They might not have just said it. They just might not have said it.
What? How can that be?
I don't know.
So you're saying that when I was growing up, and
because I'll tell you one
thing. Jesus was the Son of God.
Yeah.
They were thinking about Jesus, maybe God, but they didn't say it.
Yeah.
The preacher would have said it at some point.
I'm just saying
right.
that I never said that he was God, but I certainly never said he's not God, because it sounds weird to say Jesus is not God. It's like, why did you say that? Because although I was never necessarily really told that he was God, and then I started to question it in, like, college and stuff like that.
Right.
When you started saying that and I mentioned it, I had somebody pounce on me who grew up just like me saying, he is God, type stuff.
My preacher never said, no preacher I ever heard growing up in Alabama.
Yeah.
And we went to different churches sometimes, because at our church we only had church once a month.
Right.
So we did. If we wanted a little bit more church, we would go to other churches around.
Yeah.
I never heard a preacher say from the pulpit or anywhere else that Jesus is God.
Right.
That's when Baptist, being a Baptist, was normal.
Yeah. True.
So are you afraid to say Jesus is the Son now?
No, I already knew that he was the Son. Everybody can say he's the Son. But then they have to throw in this God the Son type stuff.
They go God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit.
That sounds crazy.
They call everything God.
They're pushing harder than the Bible even pushes.
Yeah. Another thing they call the Bible inflatable.
Would you please pronounce it correctly?
What?
You can say infallible or infallible.
F-A-L-L, right?
Right.
Infallible.
Or infallible. I don't know which one is more correct.
Did you grow up hearing that the Bible was inflatable?
Not until...
Fallible?
Not until, like, college time.
Oh, they told you that in college. No wonder.
Or maybe high school, because I did start attending that, that Friends Church, and the Friends Church... Friends is like Quakers, but this was not a liberal people, okay? So they would say, oh, we believe, we're a Bible-believing, Holy Spirit-led, something.
Tone talking.
No.
What, so in college, did they explain how a book with writing on it can be infallible?
I only
did they
heard.
Explain how, because the book going to fade away.
I only ever heard laymen discuss this, mostly females, female laymen.
What's a layman?
Layman means normal people like, well, not like you because you're, since you're a preacher. But me and Nick, Nick and me,
Nick
and I are laymen. Meaning we're just normal people who go to church, agree with the church or whatever, and we're laymen, as opposed to preachers or pastors.
And so...
So I'd heard that, like, well, God has control of everything, so he wouldn't have allowed the Bible to get corrupted, maybe.
Are you serious?
Yeah, literally we'd say stuff like that.
Oh, but in college, when they taught you, was teaching you that Jesus is God, right? And then
they didn't really push. Oh, that.
Not that the Bible is infallible. Did they tell you that in college?
Infallible, yeah.
And did they tell you, well, here's why I say the Bible is infallible, even though it fades away.
Sometimes they'll say, oh, it's been consistent for thousands of years and stuff like that.
It's been consistent in that it's been on people's minds for 1,000 years. But the book fades away.
Right, but the wording of this matches the wording here, and it matches the wording here, stuff like that.
Did you know that before they started to say, they wrote in the Bible, that in the beginning, now they write, in the beginning, how do you say it?
In the beginning was the Word. You're talking about John for the book of John?
Right. In the beginning
was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God.
Did you know before they changed it to that, the original thing is, in the beginning, that was the law, and God was the law, and the law was with God, and God wrote the law upon our hearts, upon human heart, right? However they go. And it used to say, in the beginning, that was the law. It did not say, in the beginning, that was God. God was the Word was God. God was with God. In the beginning, that was law.
That's so interesting.
And God was the law, is the law. And God is the law. And the God wrote the law upon your heart. So the law is inside of us. And the law is to love God with all your heart, soul, and might. And to love your neighbor, love your enemy.
I never knew or thought of that. It's interesting because the word is so vague.
Yeah.
And the word law feels so much more clear.
Absolutely.
But his word is law.
And you never heard that, right? Before I told you yesterday and today.
I had never heard that, not knowingly anyway,
but
that
yet,
I recall.
But yet, it makes sense to you a little bit.
Yep.
It's not like it's...
Doesn't sound off.
Right.
Like God the Son. Sorry, kids. Sorry, God the Son people.
Oh, God the Holy Spirit. God the... all that other stuff.
Shout out.
Right. Nick, did you know that the Bible said at one time, in the beginning... the law was with God, and God is the law, and God is the law, and the God wrote the law upon our heart.
I'm familiar somewhat with that verse. I didn't.
Oh, you heard that before?
Not the law thing that you're saying?
But you heard in the beginning there was the word was God, and God with the word, and God was the word, right?
Yeah, but personally, I don't find that confusing. I don't find that, whether it says law or word, I don't find that confusing.
They do.
Huh?
Sorry, they do. I jumped in, but go ahead.
No, I was just thinking that I just don't find it confusing because I'm not thinking it's not saying Jesus. It's just saying that God existed and made everything. Like, it's not confusing to me.
I'll tell you why.
Or that it's saying that, like, the word can be just, like, existence and, like, the God's mind becoming reality, becoming existence itself.
They get confused between the word and the law, because they try to distinguish between those things. When you say that God wrote his word on our hearts,
yep.
they said, well, actually, the Bible says God wrote his would write his law on our hearts. trying to act like there's a difference between those two things.
What a mess.
It's kind of, yeah, they come up with all kinds of distinctions. Like sometimes they'll say, oh, I believe the Bible is infallible, but some people don't believe that it's inerrant, meaning there's no errors in it.
Oh, I thought
but they believe infallible, but not inerrant.
Oh, I thought you said they believe the Bible had an ant.
Errant.
Oh.
Inerrant. Without air.
Without air?
Yeah.
You got to be out of your mind to even think that way.
So some people say infallible and inerrant, but those are almost like basically synonyms. But they get all intellectual like that and just come up with stuff that has nothing to do
with. They don't know that human beings make mistakes or they write according to the times.
Not to mention people's interpretations of what they're reading.
Right. In the beginning, there was the law, and the law was with God, and God was the law, and the law is God, and God and the law was written upon our hearts. That
nice.
Means that I'm like, wow! They should have told me that 100 years ago. What the? Yes, Nick.
So yeah, that's one of those verses they use to say that the Bible, like the actual Bible for today, is all that.
Yeah.
So I'm gathering that. Do they also use it to say Jesus is God with that one? Because that's part I never got. Like Jesus is not
yeah,
even
yeah.
mentioned there.
They try to because it says the Word was God, and then the Word, and then later it says the Word became flesh and dwelt among us.
How could the Bible be that though? That's so weird.
The Bible doesn't even say it.
Yeah,
they say it.
But I was like, I grew up a little skeptic, right? So as a layman, I came with a different angle.
Let me go to Mark, a first-time caller out of Connecticut. Mark, you are on the air.
How are you? And good morning to everybody.
Good morning.
I enjoy your show.
And happy White History, Mark.
Yeah, I think that's great. I watch you mostly because of your faith. And I was thinking that, like, I've been trying very hard to become a Christian for a very long time, and I keep failing, like fail at it, because I see other Christians, like they have their stuff in order and I don't. And then am I still a Christian even though I'm trying and I'm failing?
You should never ever 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 try to be a Christian. You can't try to be a Christian.
Okay.
Can you
well,
hold?
Try to live that way.
Can you hold for me, Mark?
Sure.
Let me take a break, all right? Hold on. 888-775-3773. Back in a moment. Steve, thank you for calling and thanks for holding. How have you been helped by the show?
I'm going to tell you this. I believe you might go down in history as one of the greatest, if not the greatest, black man that ever lived on planet Earth, as far as I'm concerned. I don't know anybody before you that's been that great. You know, freeing the slaves is one thing, but you've been freeing people of their mind, which matters, it should be anyhow, to you more than anything else, because with the mind not being right, there ain't nothing else going to happen right anyway.
If you can doubt every thought, because you're not your thoughts. If you can doubt every thought, knowing that you're not your thoughts, you don't create them, they're not from God, that they're from the deceiver, the great deceiver, Satan. If you can doubt every thought, you can be free, just like that, at an instant. Bring every thought into captivity. It's so amazing.
A meteorite from space, which is real, y'all, came down in New York and New Jersey and other states 2 years ago today. Happy White History Month, y'all. I'm wearing the July Feels White caps. Which, by the way, has a stylish look, premium fabric, most popular fit, and maximum comfort. Nice. July Feels White, JLP, American flag, White History Month. Get yours. Go to jesseleepeterson.shop for a limited time and scroll down for the that thing, the White History Month section. Shop. Nice. Okay. Anyway, that's jesseleepeterson.shop. And, yeah, so I think that meteorite thing, that's like a two-pound fireball that a lot of people saw 2 years ago, July 16th, 2024. They're studying it, and they're finding out about water or something, water in like space or in our solar system or galaxy or whatever, I don't know, could shed light on ancient water in the solar system. According to CNN, Commie Nonsense Network, this is the end of hour one of the Jesse Lee Peterson Show. It is Bible Thumper Thursday, y'all. Bible Thumpers, welcome. Jesus Godders, infallible Bible believers, type stuff. All are welcome here on the Jesse Lee Peterson Show and the JLP Network. Y'all can call in, super chat, listen, and all that. This is the end of the first hour. JLP will be right back. We'll get to a viewer calls. Hang on, callers, and there's one line open. You can call in, young or old, even during hate news, not fake news, to get on hold to get on air with JLP in the second or third hour here of today's show. Did you catch Bill, host of Punchy TV, P-U-N-C-H-I-E, TV yesterday? Don't mess with Bill. He's cool. And it was a great show yesterday on Punchy TV. Wednesday afternoons, 2 p.m. Pacific, 4 Central, 5 Eastern. You can call in and talk with him. A very interesting conversationalist, by the way. And nice. Speaking of the news, there have been Texas water rescues because of the floods. There's been like a storms, slow-moving storms, which means a lot of rainwater dumping down on the people. And it's flooding areas. Fire departments have had to rescue people, including ladies. And by the way, that Iran school strike. Remember that school strike, you know, like the February 28th or something? Or maybe shortly after that? That allegedly killed like over 100 maybe boys and girls and some adults at that school that's right next to an Iranian military base, by the way. But it was supposedly based on bad old information. I don't know. There has not really been the standard investigation. It's been held off, according to some sources, according to CNN. So I don't know. And there is a new 25% tariff put on Brazil, I guess. And Brazil's all mad about it from America. They've been taking advantage of us, perhaps. And so I don't know. And they claim they have not been. But Brazil, you're getting some tariffs, maybe. There was an FBI warrant made publicly available that when they submitted, I guess, that says that Houston illegal who got shot and killed in that conflict with ICE was not necessarily targeting him, although he was illegal, in a work van without a work permit. He was working on getting a work permit, but he was working without a permit illegally here in America, according to this report. According to reports that I've seen, but his van may have had illegal drugs. Wouldn't be the first time a working Mexican man or illegal man was carrying drugs, or one of his co-workers may have had drugs. Might not have been him, or it may not even be true. FBI has said that and put it out publicly, and I wouldn't be surprised either way. FBI looking out for the government because the government is under scrutiny for enforcing the law for once in its life. You know, thank you, President Trump. And we love ICE. President Trump expressed love for ICE. If you heard American Anchor Baby yesterday, who will be live again today is the plan, right after the Hake Report, which is after the Jesse Lee Peterson Show, that Trump did reverse that thing. I'm James Hake. Now back to JLP, hour two.
Somewhere in the world today,
to stand up strong, face the truth about themselves, to understand what's been wrong. I know we can find a way. I know we can find a way. I know we can find a way. Stand up. Stand up. Stand up.
Uniting the racers with truth instead of dividing them with lies. We're also rebuilding the family by rebuilding the man. I am Jesse Lee Peterson. Good morning. And hi, y'all. You can get involved by calling 888-773-7733, 888-77-JESSE. And my biblical question: are you violating God's laws? Are you violating God's laws? Amazing, huh? We have every way that you can watch and support the show listed on jesseleepeterson.com/show. jesseleepeterson.com/show. If you got to run around and you still want to listen to the show as it's happening, you can do it now on your phone. You can podcast the show, but listen on your phone. And while you're moving about, working out, walking, running, I want to say swimming, but I'm not sure about swimming. But whatever, you can be listening to the show on your phone by calling the listen line on Talk Stream Live at 605-615-4131. 605-615-4131. And to donate and have your comments read out loud, go buy me a coffee. Buy me a coffee.com/JLP talk or Bond JLP Cash App. Bond JLP Cash App. Don't forget to like these videos. Like the videos. It is Thursday. And every Thursday is Bible Bumper Thursday.
Oh, God. Are you ready?
I'll feel
in
your face. Hallelujah. Oh, Bible Thumper Thursday. Mark dropped. The call of Mark dropped. So he's not there. And we have a guest for a few minutes. They're working on the camera thing, so they'll let me know when they're ready. We'll get to the guest. In the meantime, let me take some calls, and then we'll do some super chats and things until the guest is ready. Let me go to Troy out of Minnesota. Troy, you are on the air. Hey, Troy.
Hey, what's up, Jesse?
All is well, Troy. Happy White History Month.
Amen. Happy White History Month. White power.
Well.
I just wanted to ask. I was with my conservative friends, very conservative people, by the way, and they said that they think it would be better if we let all illegal drugs become legal. And I was like, that sounds crazy to me. I don't want this place to look like San Francisco everywhere. I just want to know what you think.
They said what now?
So they wanted all illegal drugs like cocaine, crack, meth, all that bad, really bad stuff to be just legalized and, you know, used with a doctor. And I said to me, I was like, That sounds insane.
What were your response to them?
I said, I don't want my country to look like San Francisco.
And what did they say about that?
They were very adamant. They say, no, you're enriching the cartels. You know, this is a political thing. You know, they get political money from this. It's, you know, the whole border thing is, that's what they were saying, that the cartels get rich off of these illegal drugs. The politicians, they campaign off it, but it's not really solving the problem. That's what they were saying.
They would rather for the doctor to get rich off of it than the drug cartels?
Well, they were just saying that they think that everybody should be allowed to make their own decisions about that. And I just think, well, that's a bad choice, in my opinion, because if you allow bad behavior, people are going to do it. You know, yeah. It's like allowing abortion has killed almost 80 million babies. And I feel like...
You said these are real close conservative friends of yours?
Oh, very conservative. Like, they voted for Trump 3 times, pretty much on board with the agenda. But I was, like, shocked.
Why do you think they're conservative?
Well, I mean, they're Trump guys, and I agree with them, like, 95% of the time. Just this time, I was not agreeing with them.
Oh, what are you saying, hey?
I've heard that... that legalization has been a disaster. It expanded the illegal drug trade in L.A., for example, because selling pot legally is way more expensive than selling it illegally.
Oh, that's a good point.
Hmm. Oh, so you're saying, like, the illegal drug dealers, they undercut the legal ones anyway?
Yep.
But, yeah, I just wanted to know what you guys thought about that. Do you think it would be a bad or a good thing?
You say, hey.
Oh, I say it'd be a bad thing. Mm-hmm. I don't know. Yeah, I don't know if they, you know, they say, oh, the federal government shouldn't have stepped in, but I don't know if they should or shouldn't have.
Amazing. Amazing. Thank you, Troy. I appreciate that.
Yeah. Can I ask you one more quick question?
What?
I was just wondering how you would respond if somebody called you a white supremacist. I would just say I'm a light supremacist, meaning I'm for the light. And more white people are in the light than most other people, so I would say I'm a light supremacist. I don't know what you would think about that.
You think that more white people are of God than other races?
Well, like traditionally, like Europe was founded, well, it was guided by Christendom for almost 2,000 years.
Oh, I see.
I'm not saying that other places like South America and Central America are quote unquote Christian, but it seems to me like they're being run by the devil for the most part.
But if they were in the light, why would they have fear? How can they have fear? Why are people afraid to speak up?
Well, I would say half of the white people are like that, yes, but half of us are gaining that courage.
Right on. I got to run. My guest is ready. I appreciate your call, man. Happy White History Month.
Happy White History Month. God bless you, Jesse.
You too. Thank you.
Bye.
Bye now. I have with me Steve Hilton, the one and the only next governor of California. If ever we need it, Steve, we need him now. Steve Hilton is a Republican nominee for the governor of California in our 2026 election. Good morning, Steve.
Hey, it's so great to be back with you.
Amazing. Congratulations on your win so far.
Thank you, thank you. I mean, that was great. Happy to be here, but the real battle is now.
Yeah.
'Cause it's me, it's head-to-head. Me and the other guy, Javier Becerra, who's just a disaster. He's going to give us more of the same that we've got in California, but even worse. So it's a big fight on against the Democrat machine. But I think we can do it because we've got everything on our side. People are done with what's going on, as you've just been discussing on that issue and so many more.
Yeah, yeah.
Everything's so expensive. The homelessness, the crime, the chaos. It's impossible to run a business. It's all just such a struggle in California. And we know it's time for change. And the other guy's just, he's not it. So I think we can do it. But we need a lot of work between now and November. But I think we can pull it off.
I was at the gym, and even some liberals who live here in L.A., they are like, we need a change. We need a change here. And they were talking about the fires and the homelessness and the crime. And they grew born and raised in California, in Los Angeles, and they just never seen anything as bad as this bad. So I think the pain that the people have endured so far is causing them to vote for guys like you, someone that will make a change for the good in California.
Yeah, and you're right. That's the word. It's really interesting you use that word, the pain, because I'm on the road the whole time. And when we spoke before, I'd been on the road already for months, and now it's more than a year. We've been up and down the state doing town halls and meeting so many people. We have hundreds and hundreds of events, thousands and thousands of people. And I see it in their eyes, you know, when they ask questions and take a picture and we have a hug and they tell me their stories. I can just see it.
Yeah.
And there's pain and the struggle. And it's interesting what they say to me when it's very intense. There's a feeling of intensity. They say, you have to win, in this sense that if we don't make a change now, it could really be a very, very bad, bleak picture for California.
I even have a couple of my family members who are Democrats. And they, you know, they say, I'm a Democrat. I'm a die Democrat. I was born Democrat. But now they're even looking at you and they're thinking, you know what? We need Steve after all. But they're like, you know, and I never thought that I would hear some of my black friends and family members who are willing to lead that party or vote for a conservative or Republican, because it's the pain of what they have endured.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
I really, really hope and believe, Steve, that it's going to really help come November.
Well, we do. I think, thank you very much. That's amazing. And I really, really hear that kind of story. Okay, here's a story for you. We just did a town hall last Friday in San Francisco, on Saturday in Oakland in the Bay Area. And we had a really good turnout. And there were Democrats there and people, they said, I voted for, you know, whoever, another Democrat in the primary, and their person didn't make it. And then they said, you know, I come along and I'm taking a look at you. And a lot of people say, I'm voting for you because we need a change, just like you said. And what I'm offering is not ideological.
Right.
It's just practical.
Yeah.
It's common sense, practical things to make your life better, to make life. I've got this word I use on all my events, Cal-affordable, right? $3 gas, cut utility bills in half. Your first 150 grand tax-free, starter homes for young families, simple, positive, practical things. In the schools, let's just teach the kids to read and write properly instead of all this indoctrination. Let's teach practical skills in schools. That's gone away from schools. We should be teaching young people skills so they can have a good job and a career and go on a positive path forward in life. So they can have a good job where they make enough to raise a family in a home of their own in a safe neighborhood with a good school so their kids can have a better life. These simple things, that's what this is all about. And I think that people are really responding to it.
I read a report recently, and it says that a lot of kids are coming out of colleges, but they can't find a job. They're in debt for paying so much money. And jobs, opportunities like plumbing, building homes and other jobs are so available, but no one qualifies for those jobs anymore. Jobs that we used to be really popular in this country.
Yeah.
And you can make a living. You can even start your own business, learning electricians and things like that. But those jobs, no one is available for those jobs now, for the most part.
Right. And so guess what? Those jobs are going to other states. And actually, there's a boom going on in many areas and around American construction and high-end, high-tech manufacturing, chips, all these things, right? Yeah, there's a that's happening, but not in California, because we one of the reasons, it's not the only reason, but one of the reasons is we don't have enough skilled workers with those kinds of skills. Right. And so it's a crazy situation where you've got Gavin Newsom and my opponent, Javier Becerra, who keep going on about, well, things, yeah, every time anyone says anything negative about California, they say, no, things are great. We're the fourth biggest economy in the world, which is true because we're big. It's a big economy, and I'm proud of that. But it's driven by a small number of these very, very big tech companies. They generate a lot of money, but not many jobs, because the jobs go to other states in terms of construction and manufacturing and chips and technology. And so what you've got right now is the combination of the fourth biggest economy in the world, but we have the highest unemployment rate of all 50 states.
Yeah.
We have the highest, listen to this one, the highest poverty rate tied with Louisiana. That's crazy for California to be in that situation.
Absolutely. When I first moved here in 1968, jobs were everywhere. There was you can switch job every day if you wanted to. And then there was little homelessness. They had homelessness downtown L.A., but around other places, you didn't see it at all back then.
Yes.
California was beautiful. It was paradise, Steve. I thought when I got off the airplane from Alabama, I thought I went into heaven. And I never, ever, ever imagined that we would have a Democratic government. And their desire is to allow a beautiful place like California to be destroyed. They encourage it by high taxes and all these regulations and things like that.
Yes.
I didn't know human beings would want to destroy something good for their own personal sake, you know, get money and power. Yeah.
That's crazy, isn't it? I agree. I hear that a lot. I mean, we moved here 2012, so much later, with my wife and my sons. Even since then, you can see it's gone downhill.
Yeah.
And this homelessness is a scandal. Like, you don't see this. Never mind you didn't see it back then in California. You don't see it now in other states. Of course, you know, every big cities, one or two, you go to, I don't know, Miami or whatever. Yeah, here and there, a couple of people. Literally a couple. But or others in Europe in the same way. Here, it's such a scandal. And it's been going on for so long. And it's unbelievable that they think this is okay. That they, if I was the governor or the mayor or whatever now of a city or the state, I don't know how you could focus on anything else until you clean up that problem.
Absolutely.
It's degrading, not just for the people in that situation, for all of us, for parents to have to take their kids to school, walking past, you know, drug addicts, you know, dying on the street. It's just unbelievable.
I want to ask you something that maybe I knew about this, but I didn't understand it. New York Times is reporting that Tom Steyer, when he's a billionaire, he ran his progressive Democratic campaign, and he spent $216 million of his personal money. Is that true?
Yeah. So we did he came third. It was just incredible. When we looked at the money that was spent in that election and we counted out how much it was for each vote when you divide it up by the votes that we got. So Javier Becerra, let's start with me. I was the best value for money. People donate to my campaign. You can see we give you good value for money. For me, it was $2 per vote. For Javier Becerra, it was $8 per vote. Tom Steyer, $142 per vote.
Wow.
It's crazy. He just, and I don't know, he's just offering, you know, far left stuff. I don't think anyone really believed that he meant it. He was just trying to say whatever he thought would win him the election. But it doesn't work because people see through that.
That's amazing. So there is no limit as to how much a candidate can spend?
Exactly. If it's their own money, that's right.
Oh, okay. Fox News has reported that a 21-year-old Indian national truck driver, he was sentenced to 4 years and 8 months in prison after killing 3 people and a fiery semi-truck crash in California. Yeah. I'm hearing just more and more that these illegals are getting a permit to drive these trucks. Is there anything that you can do about that?
Oh, yeah, very strong. I've fought on this very strongly, and I've been working with a great guy, a wonderful father called Marcus Coleman, and his daughter, Delilah, was very severely injured and disabled in a very similar situation. It was a semi-truck driven by an illegal immigrant, couldn't speak English, and his daughter, who's 9, just got completely, she was in a coma in the hospital. She's like for months in the hospital, and now I've met her many times, and she's a sweet girl, and she's working really hard, but she's permanently disabled for life.
Wow.
And Marcus Coleman has been a fantastic campaigner on this. He was actually, people may remember that he was at the President's State of the Union address.
Oh, yes.
in Washington, but he's from Bakersfield.
Yeah.
And we've in fact, Marcus and I and Delilah was there as well. We did an event in Bakersfield during the primary where I announced that when I'm governor, we will not be issuing commercial driver licenses to people who shouldn't be here, let alone people who can't speak English and can't see what the road instructions are. I mean, it's crazy. And people are getting killed. So that's at least one practical thing we can do, because we do control that in California. So I've made a very strong commitment on that.
Why is it that our government here in California, which is pretty much Democrat, why do they care more about the illegals and all this stuff than they do the citizen, the legal citizens themselves? Why is that?
It's their ideology, and that's the only explanation. And you see it. It wasn't California, but it's a really good example of what we're talking about.
Right.
Just now with Tim Walz in Minnesota, where you had this evil child, a rapist, child sex offender, who was here illegally and eventually deported. Finally, it was the Trump administration, Marco Rubio, acted. And Tim Walz has then pardoned him to try and keep him in the country. And you just think, what's wrong with you? Really, what's wrong with you? And trying to make excuses. Yesterday, Tim Walz was out saying, well, we shouldn't judge people on their, you know, when they have a bad day. What? This is like, I don't know what's got into them. They've and what it shows you is that in their own moral hierarchy, there's nothing higher than an illegal immigrant.
Yeah.
Truly.
Yeah.
It beats anything else. It's just extraordinary. And it's just their ideology. They've become infected with a far left extremist ideology.
Is part of it that for the vote, they want to stay in office? Do they use these people for votes as well?
I don't even know if it's that. I think it's I think it's just something that's it's ideological. It's right. Just something they believe.
Okay. Because of time, I want to ask you about San Francisco Chronicle's reporting that the Stop Nick Shirley Act, known as AB 2624, I don't think they call it Stop Nick Shirley Act. They call it something else to cover up what it really is. Where do you stand on that?
Well, what it really is a Protect the Fraudsters Act. That's what it actually is, because what Nick Shirley's doing and many others, and we've been working hard to expose it as well, is finding out what's been happening to our money.
Yeah.
Like, how is this money? Look, we were talking earlier how expensive everything is in California, what a struggle it is to raise your family, to pay the bills with the taxes and the gas prices and the electric bills. We have the highest grocery prices in the country, the housing costs, the rent, all of this. And then on top of that, they keep taking more and more money from us in tax. And what do they do with it? It ends up going into the pockets of these fraudsters, yeah, criminals, and gangs, or it's used by the politicians to build their own political machine, like harvesting votes and registering all these nonprofits, very, very partisan activist groups, with our money that they tell us is going for a good cause, like helping the poor and the needy or whatever it may be. And it's not going there. And so it's a completely vital that we expose and stop this kind of waste of taxpayer money. But there you have someone who's doing it, and they're angry about him for showing them up. And so this is outrageous.
What will happen if it's not on the ballot, if it's not called Stop Nick Shirley Act, but called something else that would deceive the people? How will the people know how to vote for it?
Well, this
yes
is in
no.
the legislature, so this not—it's not a ballot initiative.
Oh, okay.
This is a bill in the legislature.
Okay.
It's outrageous. They're just protecting fraudsters, and it shows you their complete contempt for taxpayers, for us, for people who pay the bills, for them, including for them, because they seem to think it's their money. They take it from us, and then do what they want. And when we ask questions about where the money's going, they're kind of like, how dare you? It's just an unbelievable, arrogant attitude. It's another reason why this is what happens, actually, when it's a really good example of when these people have been in power for too long. 16 years now, they've run everything. All the big counties and cities and every statewide office, the state legislature with a two-thirds majority. And they develop this arrogance, this just like, oh, yeah. we're like this aristocracy, this elite. We can rule forever. You don't have any business looking into what we do. Just, you know, get on with it. And it's just, I think it's a really big part of why they're going to lose in November. I know that people look at the race for governor and they look at the way it's always gone in California the last 20 years or so, been very strong, you know, like 60%, 40% Democrat, Republican. I don't think it's going to be like this time because we've had enough of it. And I also, you know, I know what we've got planned and I'm going to have a very, very strong high energy campaign, and they've never really had someone really take the fight to them in the way that I'm planning to do.
Right on. If ever we needed you, Steve, we need you now. That's
well,
amazing.
Thank you.
One other quick question. According to the cityjournal.org, there's a gang operating open air sex market here in L.A. for sure, and they are called it's on the L.A. Figueroa Corridor, the Blade, and there was arrests made. Karen Bass is a stone liberal who doesn't care about L.A. at all. It's all about herself. How will you work with her to clean up this prostitution stuff?
Well, I've been on this issue for a while. I've actually been out on Figueroa Street at night on the Blade, as they call it. The Blade is basically a three-mile stretch of Figueroa Street,
right?
And I've seen it for myself. I've been out twice with an amazing organization led by a pastor who rescues these children, young girls, from the clutches of these evil gangs and child sex traffickers. It's a business. It's disgusting. When you hear the word, I mean, it's actually unbelievable. When you kind of hear about it, it's one thing, but when you see it and you drive down, and I can picture it now, and I've been there, as I say, and we're trying, you know, they trying to save some of these girls.
Right.
And you've got, you drive by, and they're so young. I mean, obviously, you're just going by looks, but sometimes these girls standing on the corner dressed up like, well, they are. It's what they are. They've been trafficked for sex. As it's 7, 8 years old. It's something like I've never seen before. And it's at night, right? I was going to say it's not broad daylight, but it's totally open. It's not like this is, you know, being hidden. When you hear that word child sex traffic in Figueroa Street, people may think, oh, it's some, you know, dingy
right.
basement lair. No, this is on the street, block after block after block for 3 miles or more. And you've got on the side streets cars lining up like it's a drive-through to buy these young children for sex. It is disgusting evil. And the fact that, I mean, by some people's account, Los Angeles, here in California, Los Angeles, has become the world capital for child sex trafficking on the watch of these Democrats that never stop lecturing us about, you know, their values and compassion and gender equality and how much they care about women. I mean, it's just extraordinary. Another thing I'll tell you is that when people think...
Can you hold that point for me? I got to take a quick break. When I come back, I want you to give out your information and everything. We got to get you in there come November. We need you.
Yes.
I'll
wait. Thank you.
Quick break. Back in a moment. check out Punchy's Coffee. I have my own coffee now. Punchy Coffee is good. Every bag is roasted to order. Freshest flavor. Top quality. Specialty grade beans. Good. Every dime goes back to Bar, my nonprofit. And we are rebuilding the family by rebuilding the man. So when you're drinking coffee and enjoying it, just know you're helping somebody. Amazing coffee. Punchy has his own coffee now. What the? And it's so good. All the way from the plantation to my own coffee. Who would have thought? Did that coffee come from the plantation? Did I pick my own coffee? Check it out. Go to RebuildingTheMan.com. RebuildingTheMan.com/stores. And get Punchy's coffee. Welcome back, 888-775-3773. Don't forget to like this video. Like the video, ring the bell, subscribe, and all those good things. The Hake Report is coming up at 9 a.m. The Hake, H-A-K-E report.com. And James Hake is on fire. And after that, oh, Lord, the American Anchor Baby. The American Anchor Baby from 11 to 1 p.m. Pacific time. And tonight is the ladies' forum every third Thursday night for ladies only. So come on down, ladies. The ladies are on fire working on themselves. And the first Thursday night for men only. Listen, folks, you got, if ever you need to go vote, come November, you need to vote. I don't care if you're a Republican, Democrat, conservative, Christian, non-Christian, black, white, whatever your color may be, we have another chance to make California great again. You have one more, God has given us at least one more chance, and you got to elect Steve Hilton. He is a Republican nominee for governor of California come 2026 election. And you see that the Democrats haven't done anything but made it worse. The proof is in the pudding now. It's everywhere. I hear people complaining all the time. So we're going to tell, Steve is going to tell you how to get to his website, what type of support we need. You got to get out there this time, folks. Steve, I want to go quickly back to this child or sex trafficking situation. You were making a point about that. Go ahead.
I want people to really understand the evil that's going on and why we have to act, and we got to kick these Democrats out who've let this happen. When you hear that phrase, child sex trafficking, maybe you're thinking this is international gangs and they're getting kids from other countries and they're bringing them across the border for this evil trade. And that's true. There's a little bit of that going on in terms of the proportion, but the majority of the girls and sometimes little boys, disgustingly, that are being trafficked here. What we mean by that is these are California children. I'll give you a story, a real story that I was there to witness. You had a 14-year-old girl from Southern California, just down near Temecula. Okay, this is not like some other country.
Right.
And she bought some weed or something like that, some drugs. Okay, you could say shouldn't have done that. Where were the parents? I get it. But still, she posted on Instagram that she needed some money can anyone help me out? Whatever, something like that. That came to the attention of these evil traffickers. They got hold of her. They said they could help out. They met up the same day and they met up at a Starbucks or whatever. And then within 3 hours of meeting, she was out on the streets in Figueroa Street. They changed her clothing, put her in the sex trades clothing. They drugged her and she's there on the street.
Wow.
And then thankfully, the parents put up, you know, the missing, you know, that it was alerted, and we managed to save this girl within about 5 days. Okay. In that 5 day period, this little girl had been sold, traded like she's a commodity to three different gangs as a valuable commodity. That's going on every day.
Amazing.
Every day. It's right now. And another thing I'll tell you, we went and did the first time I did one of the visits, and I rode along with this organization and doing their best to save these girls. We went out on a Friday night, we went back on a Monday morning to do a press conference right there on Figueroa Street, 9 a.m. And just so happened, we set up my podium. I started to lay out my plans, which I'll just mention in a moment, to stop this. Right. And just, without even trying, it turned out right in the back of the shot, the camera shot behind me, was someone at 9 a.m. in broad daylight, just like on the corner.
A
girl, but, you know, it's just unbelievable. So I've said very clearly, we're going to do everything in our power to stamp this out. I'm going to appoint the California's first ever director of anti-trafficking initiatives, someone who's been a campaigner against this for over a decade, who really knows what's going on. And she's going to coordinate all the efforts of state government, local and state law enforcement. We're going to get federal resources in if necessary, because a lot of this is international gangs. And we've got to put a stop to it. It's shameful. And it's going on under our noses, and it's going to stop when I'm governor.
What's interesting about that is you have Karen Bass as mayor of Los Angeles, and she's supposed to care. She pretends she cares so much about the homeless, and she cares so much about people. But yet, it appears that she's totally ignoring that these women, these girls, these kids are being used as sex trafficking in her own town.
It's unbelievable.
And will not do anything about it. I don't even hear her talk about it, to be honest.
No. It's unbelievable. It's been going on for years and getting worse. And it's just, I mean, there's so many stories. There's another one, and there's a broader point, which is something is really rotten and sick. There's a sickness that has infected the whole bureaucracy and government in California around the issue of children and families and child protective services and all this kind of stuff. I mean, there's another story where a girl who had been put in, she'd come out of that, she'd been rescued, put into foster, back with the, wanted to go back to her foster parent. They said she couldn't because she'd just come off the streets, and they have some bureaucratic protocol about that. So guess what they tried to do? They tried to take this girl and put her back on in a hostel situation right on Figueroa Street, where she'd come from. That was the government. And then she was trying to escape, and we helped her run away. This girl was 17 by now. She'd had years since she was 12 being trafficked back and forth. She was trying to escape, to run away from the government, because it was the government that was going to put her back right there in the danger zone. It's just unbelievable what's going on.
What a mess. Two other quick things I want to ask you about is Gavin Newsom said recently, according to RNC Research Center, Gavin Newsom said, capitalism as we know it doesn't work. And that seemed to be the theme of the Democratic Party now, especially with the socialists taking over. What do you say to that?
Well, it definitely doesn't work when you've got all of their Democrat rules and regulations and taxes making it impossible to run a business. But that's the point, is that they are making it worse and worse. And my parents, remember, I can't remember if we talked about this last time, my parents were refugees. My parents are Hungarian, right? Both my parents are Hungarian. Right. My stepfather's Hungarian. They were refugees from communism in Hungary, in Eastern Europe. So I've seen what happens when the government takes over and tries to put, you know, there's no capitalism. It's worse for everybody. No one can, there's no motive for people to work hard and try and do amazing things, because you're not going to get the reward. And the government runs everything, owns everything. Everything's bad. I've seen what happens. So they're going in a very, very dark direction with this. But it's important that we, you know, they don't know any better. And they hear about the theory, oh, capitalism, it's not fair. You get, you know, trillionaires, and there are people who well, actually, if you look at poverty and inequality and all those things, it's worse in the states with more of those socialist policies.
Yeah.
In places like California and New York, whereas in the places with more free market approach to things, everybody does better.
Yeah.
And there are better opportunities and life is more affordable and it's easier to run a business. So we're going in completely the wrong direction in California, but that direction now is what is really, you know, that's now driving the left and the Democrats right across the country. It's a disaster.
It's a mess. It's a mess. On your website, you said you have a policy called Make California the Crypto Capital of the World. Explain that to me.
Well, I think it's an amazing technology that puts power in people's hands when it comes to finances. And a lot of the technology that supports it was invented here. But we've got regulations in California, for example, on something called staking, which means that a lot of the actual business is going to other states.
Yeah.
And also people can't participate in the same way in California. So just like I want us to lead in all these industries in California. That's how we get good jobs and get our economy booming. And so I think we don't have to, you know, we can change the regulations so that the all the energy around that very important industry comes to California. And right now we're losing that. It's going to places like New York or Florida, especially, you know, Florida. There's other places that have a much more positive attitude, and that's what we need here.
I am very concerned about election time because I've seen what looked like the Democrats have a strategy, a way that they tamper with the voters at the polls and things like that, and they have this early voting thing going on. And I saw Pratt. That's his name, Nick? Pratt?
Yeah.
Pratt, he was like, I mean, people were loving him here in L.A. especially, but around, they loved him. They wanted him to run and to win Spencer Pratt. And it looked like he was going to do it, and then they didn't let us know the outcome of the primary until the next day or so, maybe a little longer. All of a sudden, he's not winning anymore. How can we prevent that from happening to you?
Well, this is a very important question. Thank you. And here's what it's about. So it goes a little bit back to what we were talking about with the fraud. So over the years, they've built this very powerful machine. The political machine in California is one party rule. They've had all this time, all this money. They got the unions, the nonprofits, all these far left activist groups. And they've been building this machine where when it comes to election time, they send out their people and they do what they call ballot harvest. All of this is legal. I just want people to understand when they say fraud and stop. No, this is legal. They've legalized all of this. So they go out with their machine that they've built and all these people. And a lot of it is funded with taxpayer money. And they go and harvest ballots. That's what it's called, ballot harvesting. And they can, because they send out ballots to everybody on the voter rolls. The voter rolls are completely wrong. They got millions and millions of names on them that shouldn't be there. People who've died or people who've moved to another state or moved address and are registered twice or even three times, etc. So they've got all these ballots and they go and pick them up. And that's legal. And so that's what's been going on. What's the answer? We can't change the rules until we actually get in there. And so we have to have to take this very seriously. We can beat them if we do the same thing. So we have to do our own ballot harvesting, that we have to do our own ground game, get out the vote. So there's a couple of things I'll say, which is when it comes to election time and you want to see the change and you want to vote for me and make sure that what happens to Spencer Pratt doesn't happen again, then you can do a few things. You can say, right, let's get together and make sure we all vote. There's one person I remember, you know, she came to one of our events just before the election it was Thousand Oaks, somewhere like that. She's like, well, you know, I did a pizza party and had people come and we helped fill out the ballot and I took them in. So we made sure they were all done. Here's another way of thinking about it. We think that the number of votes that I will need to win in the election this year in November is around 6 million votes. That's the estimate of what we think we'll need. In 2024 in California, President Trump got 6.1 million votes. So if everybody who voted Republican in 2024 for president votes for me this year, then I'll win with some votes to spare. Now, a lot of people, maybe even some people listening and watching right now, they don't vote in a midterm election. They right. often only vote in presidential year. Now, we got to change that. So if you are someone like that, it's very important. We can win this if everybody shows up to vote. And if you do vote, but you got a friend or a family member who you know would vote the right way, but they're not going to bother to vote because they only vote when it's the president, you just tell them you got to vote and you can take their vote and hand it in. That's what it's called, ballot harvesting. They don't even have to go. You just help them. This is just, you know, we got to be serious about this. But if everybody who's going to vote finds one other person who was planning not to vote and gets them to vote, we've just doubled we've doubled our vote. That's what everyone can do. Find one other person.
Good point. I love that. A good idea as well. According to NBC News, President Trump is to address the nation tonight on election and voting machines. So he's going to be talking about that tonight, according to NBC.
Yeah. So we don't know what that is. I've seen him give some hints. He says it's a very big announcement, very right. important. So we'll see.
Amazing. So in closing here, I want you to, you've already given an amazing idea about how to get out there to vote and help people and to get involved. Tell us exactly what we need to do, what you want.
Thank you.
Your website and everything.
Well, you've got to spread the word. You've got to tell people. You've got to support Steve Hilton. You've got to say he's a practical guy, just wants to make life affordable, Cal affordable. And the website is stevehiltonforgovernor.com, F-O-R, stevehiltonforgovernor.com. And look, we've built an army of small dollar donors because that's how we beat this machine. It's the people against the machine. So if you can spare $10 or something like that, donate, because they've got all the money they need from the unions. They're stealing it from us in different ways. And so we got to fight back hard. SteveHiltonForGovernor.com.
Amazing. Well, as I said in my opening remarks here, we got to have you now. We need you now. God is giving us one more chance to make California great again, and it can be done if we had the right person in office to do it. And so I believe it's you. If they don't tamper with the voting or whatever, I'm pretty sure you're going to win, because I'm hearing a lot of talk about and for you like I've never heard before for a Republican governor. So I'm real confident, Steve, that something good is going to happen. So,
well, thank you so much. I appreciate that. It's great to be with you again, and I'll see you soon. I'm sorry I couldn't be with you in person. We had to change the travel at the last minute, but next time I'll see you right there in L.A.
Absolutely. And one more time, your website.
SteveHiltonForGovernor.com, F-O-R, the word for SteveHiltonForGovernor.com.
Right on, man. Thank you, and we'll talk again
thank you.
Soon.
All right. See you soon, Jesse. Thank you.
Okay. Amazing. 888-77-JESSE. You got to get out and vote, folks. We got one more chance here to bring a governor in that will make California great again. Because California can be beautiful. A lot of people don't know how it used to be. It was amazing when I moved. I literally thought I walked into heaven when I got off the airplane at LAX. And walked out in palm trees and the weather and job opportunities, everything, everywhere. We can bring that back if we had the right person. Steve Hilton is the guy for that. All right. Let's do some super chat, and then I get you some calls.
Super chat.
Super chats.
Over on yesterday's pilled.net, Pastor Chatelet, 111 gold pills. A Pharisee asked, "Teacher, which is the greatest commandment in the law?" Jesus replied, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment."
Yeah, absolutely. That's deep. What you don't know, and it's interesting too, if you put loving what's right first, love God with all your heart, soul, and mind above everybody and everything, and then love your enemy, love your neighbor, everything else will work out for you. All your bad habits will fall away. opportunities will you will see that they are right in front of your face. Everything will start to just work for you without your effort. The Bible says, "Your way, His ways are not your ways. Your ways are not His. He will make your burdens light and your load. Your burden is easy and your load light. Your whole life will change. You see what happened when you go and forgive your mama. People, I say it all the time. They say it all the time. Everything changed. I don't feel the heavy load anymore when I forgave. You got to forgive your mama. And then your daddy for not protecting you from your mama. Amazing. Thank you.
Pastor Shadowley, donated 111 more gold pills saying, and the second is like it, love your neighbor as yourself. All the law and the prophets hang on these two commandments. Matthew 22:37-40.
Absolutely.
NIV.
I never really understood the power in loving your neighbor and loving your enemy and not hating. There's something there that is miraculous. Right? Am I saying that word?
Yep.
It's something, a whole change happened for you when you have the love of God, love Him first, and love your enemy, love your neighbor working through you, something great happened. It really, really does. And you'll see if you do it. Thank you.
Currently on Cash App, that's Bond JLP on Cash App. Who are you? I say that I'm just aware.
Amazing. Thank you.
Thank you, Curly.
Amazing.
Maryland, Three Coffees. Uncle Jesse, God did give the 613 laws to the descendants of Israel because that was part of the covenant. The laws were never meant for Gentiles. Even now, the covenant is still theirs. We were just grafted in, says Maryland. It's true. It's not true that they were man-made. Laughing face with tears coming out. You can't just dismiss anything that doesn't align with your worldview as a lie without having looked into it. It's okay to be wrong sometimes. Do you not trust the truth that you believe you must bend it? Not good at all, Uncle Jesse.
Thank you. I appreciate your correction. Where did this idea come from that God wrote all those other laws instead of the laws of Moses?
Those are the laws of Moses. Well, from the book that Moses supposedly wrote, wherever that, Deuteronomy maybe? Are those the laws? I don't know.
But Moses didn't write Deuteronomy.
Well, according to tradition, Moses wrote Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy, I heard.
No, he didn't.
Info may be false.
Oh, and where did you get, so do you believe that God gave all those laws or the 10 laws, 10 commandments?
I believe he gave the 10 plus the 603 makes 613.
Well, why Jesus didn't talk about all these other laws? He wasn't in agreement with that.
He said not one iota of the law will be struck.
And so,
I don't know. He said,
what a mess.
He summed it up right there, what Pastor Shadley did say, though.
Right.
And I don't know if Marilyn is right or you're right or neither or both or whatever.
Amazing.
Y'all not infallible either.
Amazing. Thank you, though. I appreciate it.
Thank you, Marilyn.
Yeah.
Sharon, Three Coffees, Happy White History Month to all of you at Bond. I hope y'all have an amazing week.
Thank you. Happy White History, I appreciate it. I got to take a break. One more hour to go. When I come back, straight to the calls. Amazing. Thank you all. Back in a moment. Hate news, not the faint news. I'll be back in a moment.
Okay. I recently got a job as a maintenance manager. 3 weeks in, I'm now the GM of that park. I'm doing, the silent prayers, always keeping present. There's no way that I would have been ready for this position even 6 months ago, if it wasn't for counseling with you one-on-one in my relationship with the Father. You have changed my life dramatically, brother, and I love you for it. And my wife loves you. We love all your crew. You guys are doing amazing work, and I just wanted to give you that update.
Well, right on. Congratulations. And again, you just take it one moment at a time, one day at a time, and let things unfold, and they will. And do not take anything personal from anyone. Don't get angry resentful or anything like that, and you'll be fine no matter what.
Some serious mess going on in this here old world. We'll get to more of your super chats soon, y'all. Okay? More of your super chats. My bag. Anyway, by the way, get your July Feels White, White History Month hats. There are many, there are multiple designs, okay? This one is the white one. There's a off-white with blue, a nice color blue, and an off-white with red. JCLeePeterson.shop, scroll down to the White History Month section, and you can click into that store. Nice. And get them while they're available, okay? They're not always available year-round, okay? So get it if you like it and if you can afford it. Trump has a speech to the nation tonight, by the way, maybe about election integrity and the perhaps Save America Act. You know, the voter ID law. And that's about 6 p.m. Pacific, 8 Central, 9 Eastern tonight. But, ladies, you needn't concern your pretty little heads about politics. So come on over. Or I suppose you could be listening, streaming it through your car or through your headphones. But be aware, if you're riding the bus to the Women's Forum tonight, third Thursday of the month, July 16th, 2026 A.D., 7 p.m. Pacific Daylight Time here at Bond in Los Angeles. Not recorded and not streamed. Private. Okay? No gossip before or after. Nice. Shout out, ladies. RebuildingTheMan.com/events. You can check that page for info if you need it. Or call the Bond office, 1-800-411-BOND, B-O-N-D, which is 1-800-411-2663, or local number 323-782-1980, 323-782-1980. Messi's Argentina, if you're interested in the World Cup. Well, if you're interested, you probably already know. But anyway, Messi's Argentina, right? Because Messi plays in America, but he's playing for Argentina since he is Argentine. They beat England, I guess, right, in Atlanta. They, you know, the World Cup is held mostly in the United States, also in Mexico, maybe a little in Canada, not sure. And they're facing Spain. Argentina is facing Spain, the Argentina soccer team facing the Spanish soccer team in New Jersey on Sunday. And I think that's the last game, this one coming up on Sunday. But go to church with Jesse Lee Peterson on Sunday, all right? Don't be so degenerate, all right? Or you can be degenerate, but go to church. But don't be degenerate at church. Have some decency. You can do it. Oh, by the way, I mentioned the FBI warrant that's publicly available. It says the Houston illegal's van may have had illegal drugs in it, too. Whew. Unfortunately, I guess that Houston illegal did die. Watch out for the prepackaged salads as well as raspberries, basil, salad mixes, vegetable trays, coleslaw, cilantro, berry and fruit mixes, lettuce and snap peas. They've all been linked to outbreaks in the past of like a parasite that causes diarrhea. So not saying that they do have it. Just watch out. Be careful. Wash it thoroughly, although washing it thoroughly is not necessarily a cure-all for this particular parasite. It does cling to those leafy greens pretty toughly, as well as to those berries. There's also invasive sea lampreys that's getting trout, salmon, and whitefish in the Great Lakes. These sea lampreys, normally during the China virus, we were able to like poison their young so that their young wouldn't grow up. It was called lampricide. Sea lampreys have no bones, but they have these suction vampire mouth things that are just gross. And it sucks the outside of the fish and just eats them from the outside. Nasty. They're like 2-3 feet long. Anyway, watch out. Well, I guess you don't watch out. You just won't get as much salmon or trout or whitefish. Not to be confused with hakes. All right, hakes are ocean. Whitefish are the lake fish, freshwater, Whatever. I'm James Hake. Now back to the Jason Lee Peterson Show. Hour 3, Bible Thumper Thursday.
Uniting the races with truth instead of dividing them with lies. We're also rebuilding the family by rebuilding the man. I am Jesse Lee Peterson. Good morning and how are y'all? You can get involved by calling 888-77-5377-3, 888-77-JESSE. And my biblical question, are you violating God's laws? Are you violating God's laws? Have you ever wondered that? Are you violating God's laws? We have every way that you can watch and support the show listed on jesseleepeterson.com/show. jesseleepeterson.com/show. Derek said he's violating God's law every day. What the?
He be violating, to use the black vernacular.
Right.
Sorry, it's White History Month. I shouldn't talk like that in White History Month.
Where was I? Listed on the jesseleepeterson.com. If you got to run around and you still want to listen to the show, you can podcast and listen on your phone by calling the listen line on Talk Screen Live at 605-615-4131. 605-615-4131. And to donate and have your comments read out loud, go buy me a coffee. Buy me a coffee.com/JLP talk or Bond JLP Cash App. Bond JLP Cash App. It's Thursday. And every Thursday is Bible Thumper Thursday.
Oh, the sign outside the New Era Baptist Church in Birmingham reads, "A black vote for Trump is mental illness."
I am the daughter of two pastors.
You will emerge from that as an atheist.
President Joe Biden is only the second Catholic president.
If you don't,
they call him the Holy Father. Ain't nothing holy about the Pope.
God, why George God?
Holy mackerel.
I can't believe you people follow a man.
The Pope is like,
like a mama. May his soul rest in peace. Amazing. That Pope is dead, right?
Right.
He did.
He's in heaven.
Everybody going to heaven? Let me go to first time caller, Jay out of Montana. Jay, happy White History Month. You're on the air.
Happy White History Month.
Thank you, Jay.
I'm just calling. It seems like at least every show, someone is correcting some sort of pronunciation or some sort of way that you say things. And I just wanted to call on behalf of everyone who enjoys the way that you say things. And one of the appeals to your programming for me, and I assume a lot of other people, is the way that you talk, the way that you say things, the way that some of your phrases go. And then some of the people who correct your pronunciation,
uh-huh.
they're constantly mispronouncing words themselves. So nobody owns words, you know.
Right,
there's
on.
No rule book on, you know, how everybody has to say a certain word. So I just wanted to give my support that I enjoy the way that you say things, and I'm disappointed anytime someone tries to correct you.
Thank you, Jay. In your face, Hake. Hake is white.
Oh, I can't see him, but
he's turning,
maybe his face is red.
Well, hey, it is. His face is all red, I'm about to tell you.
Guilty.
Get behind me, Satan. His face is all red right now.
I just trying to correct him this morning because he said something about I'm the same as him or something like that.
Mm-mm. And it's fallible.
No, about him versus he, something like that.
He versus them. Not everybody's, you know, none of us are correct all the time in the way that we talk.
Thank you, Jay. I appreciate that, and happy White History Month.
Happy White History Month to you as well. Thank you for giving us this month to celebrate.
Right on. Thank you, now. Right
you
on.
Too.
Okay. Uh-huh.
Oh, the line was about that black woman who wants her husband or her man to be ambitious.
Oh, yeah.
She makes more money than him, you said, but it's actually she makes more money than he.
Whatever. When you're black, you can say it any kind of way you want.
Well, same with the whites, too, actually. That one is a little snooty.
Yeah. It's like even white people say, where you at?
I know.
And I'm hearing that all everywhere now, whereas before it used to just be black people say, where you at?
I remember being a kid, and in the late 80s, we started hearing the young, cool, white young men saying, where are you at?
I know.
And the mothers would be like, it's not where are you at. And I would join those mothers. Mama Hake. Terrible.
Amazing. Let me go to Frank, a first-time call out of Texas. Frank, you are on the air.
Hey there. What's going on, Jesse?
All this well.
My favorite evangelist.
all this well, Frank. Happy White History Month.
Hey, happy White History Month also. You know, it's funny. Most people don't realize the first slave owner in North America was a black man. I'm pretty sure his name was... what was it, like Anthony Johnson or something like that?
I think so. It sounds familiar. I can't remember right now, but it definitely sounds familiar, yes.
Yeah. No. Happy White History Month, though. That's funny.
They don't even want to talk about the black slave owners. You rarely hear discussion about that. They want to talk about the white people owning a slave, but you rarely hear about blacks owning slaves.
Yeah. You know, it's interesting that I heard you talk about it first, which is I think it's a conversation that just needs to be like kind of leveled over.
Yeah.
To understand that you know, my ancestors came over to this country on the Mayflower. My first ancestor was George Soule. And he was an indentured servant, and is also a half Jewish. So take that as you wish. But that's how I got here. And
according to AI, Anthony Jones was the first legal slave owner. For brave AI. So, Anthony Johnson was the first legal slave owner, but not the first slave owner, period.
Well, obviously not.
Right, yeah. AI is dumb.
They've been doing that for 20,000 years.
That's right.
But, man, you are the best. You are my favorite evangelist of all time. That I've seen publicly speaking, and you know, for people. And I used to live in L.A. for like 3 years. And
really?
I loved your conversation with the British gentleman earlier.
That was Steve Hilton. He's running for governor of California, a Republican.
That was the best thing I've seen in, like, the last month.
Yeah.
For sure.
Right on.
I cannot say enough good things about what he had to say and he was outing it. I lived in Van Nuys for a while as well. I lived in Atwater Village and then Van Nuys. I was in LA for like 3 years for music stuff.
Oh, okay.
Because I'm a music producer. But it was a nasty scene in that as well. Seeing all of the convolution and the demons, and it just like out in the open.
Yeah.
In LA, just like parading the streets, and like the homelessness, like they'll bring the RV campers in, and they're not even from there. And then they'll park them there, and then they'll, like, if they don't pay the rent for the RV, they'll burn it down, the cartel.
Yeah, it's a mess, man. But Steve is going to make the change.
Yeah. Oh, they fixed the L.A. River. Have you gone on a little float trip? No. I would never.
Yeah. Not
unless
ever.
You want to get hepatitis.
Yeah, what a mess. I got to run, Frank, because of time, but call me again. I appreciate it.
God bless you, Jesse, and keep doing the Lord's work. You're the best evangelist on earth.
Amazing. Thank you, man. And
God
happy,
bless you.
All right. Happy White History again, all right?
All right. Love you. Love you Jesse.
Love you,
bye.
Too, buddy. Let me go quickly to Rob. Rob, been waiting a while here out of Northern California. Rob.
What's up?
Hey, Rob, you're on the air.
Hey, what's up, Jesse? How you doing?
All is well.
Oh, that's great. Hey, man, I really want to appreciate y'all for your hospitality the other day when I did the old Irish hello. Have you ever heard about an Irish goodbye?
No.
Oh, really? An Irish goodbye is when an Irishman just leaves. He doesn't say anything. He just walks away.
Oh.
So I kind of did it in the reverse. I just said, hey, I'm here. What's up?
Well, it was good to see you, man. And feel free to drop by anytime.
Ah, I appreciate it. Thank you so much.
Yes.
Hey, happy White History Month, sir.
Happy White History Month, Rob. Amazing.
Yeah. I got a white baby. Take a nap right now, so I'm doing my part.
Right on. We need more white babies. Have you said happy white history to anyone yet?
Yes, I have. And I have a friend of mine that we are able to talk to each other normally.
And
yeah.
How was his response?
He says, yeah, man. It's like, you know, it's good to acknowledge that, you know, it's a lot of people don't want to acknowledge the history that happened and how it happened, and you know, they're always trying to throw shade on it. It's not anything more than these are things that happened. This is the people that did them, and that's why we have this beautiful country that we have.
Absolutely. So Hake is telling me that the Irish goodbye is you just leave without saying goodbye.
Correct.
You got it from AI?
No, I've known about that.
Oh, you know about that?
Yeah.
You remember meeting Rob when he came down?
Yep.
Yeah. Amazing.
Yeah, absolutely. So, yeah, appreciate that. And big
and
shout out to Derek, man. My bad. I didn't say
you're
what's up.
You're a flat earther, right, Rob?
Yes, sir. That brings us right into my psalm.
I remember
Psalm
19:1.
Yeah. Yeah, so Psalm 19:1 is a good Bible thumping one for me.
Okay.
Oh, and I wanted to ask about when you ask people if they think the earth is flat or if it's round.
Yeah.
I was like, the flat earth is round, kind of like a pizza anyways. So maybe you could ask them if they think it's a sphere.
A sphere?
Yes.
What is that?
It's a ball.
Oh.
So like, yeah.
instead of saying round, I should ask, is this a spear?
It's just a request, yes.
Oh, okay.
If you want to, if you want to. That was just a suggestion.
What do you think about that, Hank?
Maybe.
I don't know if most people are going to be thinking that way. So they may not know, what I'm talking about.
I heard that some
Israelites,
Big Bump, I think, told me that Israelites, the original Israelites, Black Hebrew, the original Black Hebrew Israelites, if you will, thought that the earth is a square because of the four corners, maybe the corners of the earth.
Oh, yeah, because they talk about the four corners of the earth or something.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. I mean, you know, I as a genuine flat earther, I only claim to prove what I only claim to talk about what we can mathematically or visually, experimentally prove. And so that's why it works for me. The 8 inches per mile squared thing doesn't seem to hold true in a lot of situations.
Hank has a Bible verse for you too.
Yeah, you mentioned Psalm 19:1, which reads.
Yes.
I'll read the KJV, which is probably the one that you mean, King James Version. The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth his handiwork.
Which brings me into my dedication to White History Month, Wernher von Braun, which is Hake's favorite guy, tells this for story time. And on his tombstone, he has Psalm 19:1 engraved in it.
And he was a German-American aerospace engineer and space architect, a member of the Nazi Party.
He created NASA.
Wow.
Basically. Yeah.
Basically. He joined NASA in 1960. When they were doing the Army.
Or he did.
Army Ballistic Missile Agency. Space operations were transferred to the NASA. Interesting.
Nice. Yeah. So, go ahead.
No, finish your point.
I was going to say, if you ever have time, look back into NASA's stuff that they put out on TV back in like the 70s and stuff. It's fun to watch.
Amazing. So some people believe that there's a hole in the earth. And that in that hole, that people live there.
Really?
And it's like, it's not easy to get to. But it's at I think they said it's at the top of the ball, the earth, somewhere around there. And that is not easy to get to. Do you believe that there's a hole in the earth?
I have never seen anything to suggest that there is. The only thing that would allude to that would be in the Bible when it talks about, I think, Sheol or something, which is like that there's whatever's underneath their description of the earth.
I'm going to be interviewing a scientist, I believe he's a scientist, who's going to be talking about the hole in the earth and how it's difficult to get there, but with the right kind of equipment or something, you can make it. Nick, you know about the hollow hole?
Oh, I was just wondering, maybe it's like related to the hollow earth people. I don't really know what they believe, but maybe it's that genre. Hollow earth.
There's
they
theories.
Believe the earth is hollow and people live in it.
I've never directly looked at that particular subject. I can look into it, and I'll definitely watch your program when he's on.
Yeah. He says that when you, and I don't want to misquote him at all because I was just read a little bit about him. He's, you know, like, as you know, the earth is a ball, right? A ball, right?
Allegedly.
And then
allegedly.
On top of this ball is where the hole is found. But is that it's on top, but as the ball turns, there's like a gravity or something. I don't know if you said gravity.
Yeah. But, okay. So you thought about gravitational fields and polarity shifts and stuff like that.
And then gravity will pull you down in that hole if you're not equipped right to bypass it or something.
Yeah, I don't believe any of that. What flat earthers think, that's when they try to combine science and quote unquote conspiracy theory, it's there's always kind of like a dilution to it on purpose. But what flat earthers think is in the middle of the earth is a big magnetic rock, black rock, a big black magnetic rock. And that's why compasses point to the rock. And so, I don't know if there's a hole there too, but.
Okay, we'll find out from him.
All right.
Let me ask you one quick question that I got to run, Rob.
Yes, sir.
Do you believe Jesus is God?
I was listening to your guys' conversation earlier. I was raised Catholic. So I always never really just thought about it that way. I'm more aligned with what you say, like Jesus is the Son of God. I mean, you know, it doesn't mean that he's any less important to us.
Right.
You know?
Absolutely.
Yeah. And so that's how I always thought of it. Of course, in Catholicism, we pray to a lot of different saints and stuff. But
I know, what a mess.
Confusing.
Doreen, I asked you that because I noticed that so far most of the flat earthers I've spoken to, that doesn't mean they all believe it, but most of flat earthers believe that Jesus is God.
Really?
No wonder you think Jesus is God. You believe the earth is flat.
No. I try to be a little more pragmatic and realistic about it. And, so I think it's pretty simple. You know, Jesus is the Son of God, and that's
right on,
kind of what happened, right?
Absolutely. Amazing. Thank you, Rob.
Amazing.
I got to run, and good talking to
you. You're welcome. I appreciate all y'all. See you soon.
Okay, buddy. 8877 Jesse. Super, super.
Nice. Super chat. Cornerstone on Cash App, Bond JLP on Cash App, says July feels white.
July just feels white. Amazing. Check out the cap. July feels white.
Very nice. Thank you, Cornerstone. As always, AI Rainbow 55, welcome new Jesse Lee Peterson member.
Right on. Thank you, AI Rainbow.
AI underscore, I think it's AI, unless it's Al. That's the problem with this AI thing. It could be Al. And so, poor Al. Anyway.
Thank you, Al. Amazing.
Al Rainbow, or AI Rainbow. Games for Rec, gifted the cookie. No
Thank
message.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
Fazul, Ingratitude, John 19:30. It is finished.
I rest my case. It is done. Right on. Thank you.
Walking Roscoe, ambition, legacy, so-called willpower, and motivation are thoughts the enemy uses to lead humans astray. Let it all go.
Yeah.
God is in control. Love y'all. Rich in Germany.
Right on. Thank you, Rich in Germany. I appreciate it. You're right. Amazing.
Walking Roscoe, women love ambition so much they eventually ambition.
Am what?
Ambitching.
What?
Ambitching.
Bitchy?
Ambitching.
What does that spell?
Bitching. Hey, hiding.
You gotta let you commit a sin.
I guess I still have my mama's religion or something.
That's for sure.
Walking Roscoe. Oh, I already read that one. Whew. Aries, thank you, Walking Roscoe. Putting Jim through the ringer. Aries 1 gifted the can.
Thank you. Amazing.
0906 Durr. AI. Jesus radically expanded the definition of murder. Matthew 5:21-26. He taught that harboring deep unrighteous anger, verbally abusing others, stems from the same root as murder and is subject to God's judgment.
Amazing. Thank you.
Thank you, 0906 Durr.
Yeah.
That was on Rumble, a Rumble rant.
You got to know how to rumble.
Jules Verne, if the law is written on your hearts, I hope you didn't get that from the Bible full of mistakes because it can't be trusted because of the mistakes, so now all your quotes are meaningless, so claims Jules Verne.
In the beginning, there was the law, and the law was God, and the law was with God, and God was the law. In the beginning, and the law was written upon your heart. Amazing. Thank you.
Thank you, Jules Verne. Truth for Jesus, happy White History Month. All caps, double exclamation mark. Today's celebrate John Muir, M-U-I-R. I'm familiar with it because there's a John Muir High School here in L.A.
Period.
And there's some fast black runners, or was there. His writings were very poetic, inspirational to Roosevelt and President Taft to preserve all beautiful lands in the great country. So under his influence, we now enjoy the national park system. So next time you visit a national park, thank a white man.
There you go. Thank you for that white moment.
Nice.
Amazing. Thank you.
John Muir.
Thank you.
Alex, 10 coffees. Thank you, Jesse. I'm giving back because what you have given me, I love you, brother, and God bless you.
Right on. Stay with it. Stay with it. Stay with it. Stay with it. Just stay with it. And thank you for giving to help us help others. Thank you.
Jamie, we can even do it slow. Either way you want to go. Just take that thing to the flow. I hope I can't. This, hope this is not bad for me to be reading this. Pop something, move something, shake your tail feather.
Amazing.
Sounds like lyrics.
Well, Shake Your Tail Feather is a song from way back when.
That might be the lyrics to that very song.
Yeah. Maybe. I don't remember the lyrics to it right now. Except a little bit. But thank you. Amazing.
He does say it's Shake Your Tail Feather by Nelly, P. Diddy, and Murphy Lee, no endorsement implied. But I could be wrong.
Amazing. Thank you.
Info may be false. Yeah. Jamie says, keep it terse, people. Keep it terse. Which is a nice, which is a meaner word for pithy.
Keep it pithy. Amazing. Thank you.
Henia. Pardon me if I'm butchering the name. Henia. H-E-N-I-A. Please wish my mama, Iris Claudia, a happy birthday. Thank you. Love you, Jesse.
Amazing. Happy birthday, Claudia.
Jamie, physical strength can never permanently withstand the impact of spiritual force. Franklin D. Roosevelt.
Amazing. Thank you.
A nice quote.
Sure is.
Santino R. says, thank you for the help, Jesse. Here's a little something to help others get the help they need.
Right on.
Because you know we need it desperately.
If ever we needed you, Lord, we need you now. Thank you for helping us to help others. Appreciate it.
Charla S. Hey, Jesse, as per the buymeacoffee.com/JLP talk from yesterday, I challenge Hake from the Hake Report to ask woke Google if blacks were in the America before Europeans and see what it says. Thank.
Amazing. I hear the Indians all upset. They celebrated 250. For some reason, they're feeling left out. Amazing.
Okay, and then I'll let you know what I find, because I did just do a quick search, but it's too long for me to read right here, right now.
Thank you.
But thank you, Charles.
Yeah.
Daniel H. Jesse, what's wrong with the blacks?
What's wrong with the blacks? Amazing. Thank you.
And I owe an apology to Mike Young and Marcus G. They had questions for the guest that I didn't push forward. Hey, Mr. Hilton, as governor, how would you deal with the illegal aliens? Asked Mike Young.
Oh, they came in during the interview?
During the interview.
Oh, I had a very, very fun and just amazing discussion with Steve Hilton at the beginning of the first hour. So you may want to check that out. And go vote for Steve Hilton. It's time to clean California up. Make it great again. Make it California again. All right? Amazing. Thank you.
Very nice. And Marcus G., I am remiss. Hey, Steve, meaning Steve Hilton, how will you deal with the Muslims who took over your country? His original country was England, I believe, or UK, from coming to California. Emoji. type of furrowed brow with one brow eyebrow up emoji.
He's gone now.
My bad.
We'll ask him when he come back again. Amazing. Thank you.
Maria, infallible refers to people, not a book. Only God is inerrant.
I rest my case. Finally.
Our Maria.
Thank you, Maria. Thank you.
We got to read the rest of these ladies.
I appreciate that, Maria, really. I don't know where these people get the idea that a book is infallible. It doesn't even make sense. I'll be right back to the treasure chest that opened on D-Live.
Not that there is a D-Live.
I mean, not the treasure chest either, right?
Right.
Books that are amazing. What's
scratch offs on pill.net.
Back in a moment.
Seven guaranteed steps to spiritual, family, financial success. Guy, even if you're not starting a business, but you have a job or you're on welfare, it can help you if you do. Be doers of the word, all right? From rage to responsibility. From rage. That's what I write about in the first chapter, especially how I overcame scam. How the black leadership exploits black Americans. They are using them. And blacks are too willing to be used. And then my last book, The Antidote, Healing America from the Poison of Hate, Blame, and Victimhood. They are all amazing books, and they are helpful. Go to RebuildingTheMan.com if you want an autographed copy or call 800-411-2663.
Amazing. It's amazing that it is Bible Thumper Thursday. Couple announcements before I go back to the callers here and the super chat. The Hate Report is coming up. E. White, the guy with the good hair, at the top of this hour at 9 a.m., Monday through Friday. The Hake, H-A-K-E, report.com. And after the Hake Report, the American Anchor, baby. Energy given to him by God, from God. And it's not alone, it's a gift. The American Anchor, baby, right after the Hake Report today, at 9 a.m. from American Anchor, baby, from 11 to 1 p.m. Pacific time. And then tonight, the ladies form tonight, every Thursday night of the month, for ladies only. And the first Thursday night for men only. Come on down, ladies. The ladies are truly on fire. They, when we gave the theme out at the beginning of the year to endure to the end, that we're going from the first floor to the at least 50th floor in life, they're like, I'm ready, Jesse. And they have not stopped. I'm serious. Those meetings are amazing. So tonight at 7 p.m., go to RebuildingTheMan.com/event. And then the last one for now is brand-new episode of the FallenState.tv tomorrow at 11 a.m. I had an interesting, fun conversation with Benjamin Krause. And Benjamin is a veterans' rights activist, attorney, investigative journalist, and the host of the Veterans Rights Podcast.
Next time on The Fallen State.
What is a veterans' rights activist?
When we need health care, and we need it now, that we're not caught in bureaucratic red tape that the prior administration jammed us up with.
All right.
Theodore Roosevelt said that a man willing to shed his blood for the country deserves a square deal after.
Yes.
You know, anyone that supports veterans becoming leaders in America, I'm on board, same team, you know. Jesus.
Does he obey you?
This was not what I expected, Jesse.
Tomorrow, Friday, at 11 a.m., if the Lord is willing and decreed, don't rise. And you can support the Fallen State by becoming a member there on the YouTube channel or jesseleepeterson.locals.com. Let me go to the busy phone. Let me go to first time call. Oh, don't forget to like the videos. Hit ring the bell. Support our social media. Jesse Lee Peterson on Instagram, JLP Talk on X and TikTok. So like, comment, follow, subscribe. Let me go to Rick out of Hampton, Virginia. Rick, you are on the air. Hey, Rick.
Yes, what's up, Jesse? What's going on, brother?
All is well. Happy White History Month, Rick.
Yes, happy White History Month to my brothers and sisters out there.
I know.
And y'all stand strong, and y'all, and we love you all. No matter what this liberal media talks about, or social media, and the race hustlers, the black liberal pastors, and black liberal politicians.
You love white people?
Yes, I love white people.
Are you married to a white woman?
No, my wife's black, but I have quite a few white friends and quite a few, you know, who I fellowship with. And I love all people.
I'm just joking.
No, I know, you know, but just, you know, when you ask people that, why is that so hard to say? Do you love the Jews? I love everybody. What is so hard about that?
Well, white people are afraid to say that they love white people because they say, oh, if I say that, I'm going to be perceived as a racist or something. So white people are even, and not all, but most are even afraid to say they love their own people.
Yeah, but you know, sometimes you ask other people, other callers, you'll say, do you love white people? I love all people. That'd
right.
be the answer.
Yeah. Well, and I mean, yeah.
They're people, you know, but
yeah.
I wanted to hit on a biblical question today there, Jesse, if you think you're so tough.
Are you violating God's laws?
I say this, if you're not loving, walking in love, you will violate God's laws. Because I say this, Jesse.
And so the question is, are you violating God's laws?
Oh, tell me? No. I'm not.
And why do you say no?
I say that because I try and walk in love as much as I can, Jesse, and love. My thing is here. You know how people talk about the Bible has been tampered with, and I say, well, do this. Then the Bible said this sums the entire scriptures: love God, love yourself, love your neighbor. That's the entire body. They can't even get that right.
And so you are you violating God's law or not? You saying no?
No, I'm not.
And you
no, I'm not.
And why do you say no?
And I say that because I walk in love and I don't have no anger in my heart.
Okay, so you never get angry at all?
You know what? The feeling would sneak up on me at times, Jesse. The feeling would sneak up on me, but I still, you know, stay the course. You can feel it coming. Just say, for example, I give you an example, Jesse. Like, if you're driving in L.A., and somebody's driving slow, and that film, come on, man, blow your horn or something. But you won't. You say they could be probably in a distressed situation. You see what I'm saying?
And so you don't blow your horn?
So I don't blow my horn. I don't act on it. Sometimes I feel it trying to come on, like being patient with somebody. I say, no. You never know. You're like, you go to the grocery store and somebody have a whole bunch of coupons. And then your impatience tend to want to come kick in and say, man, come on, man. You know, but, hey, he's been a good steward of his finances. You see what I'm saying?
And so in your mind, while waiting, you don't say, what a bitch.
It'll run across my mind, but I won't call her that.
But you judge them in your mind.
Well, you know, like, that'll come, you know, the temptation will come in a call her a bitch. Whatever. I'm sorry. Whatever. The temptation will rise, but, you know, like, I mean to use the word B. I thought I cursed on your show. I didn't mean to want to use the word B, the B word.
Yeah, don't say bitch.
Yes, I'm sorry. That's why I had to apologize for that, Jeff. I don't want to. We don't need to get. We need to get bring all the fun we can to watch your show.
I mean, well, I appreciate your response. I appreciate your response to the biblical question.
Do you like? You like my response?
I'm sorry.
Did you like my response?
I can't respond until Sunday.
Oh, okay, okay. I'll try to tune in for church Sunday and see what you, and see what the answer be.
Right.
And I'll just, can I say one more thing too, if I can?
Yes.
What caused, when Biden was president, what caused inflation, high energy costs, and everything else when he was president?
With Biden?
Yes.
The taxes, you remember when he was high president? Taxes, all these illegal coming in, we were taking care of them. All these governmental programs that they have now, all kinds of things.
Because our congressman came on yesterday, say, and one lady asked her that, and he was complaining that everything was high because Trump is starting the Iran war. So a caller called in and said,
"It was already like that."
Right, and that's what the lady asked. He said, "Why are you complaining about Trump? But all it was high when Biden was president."
Yeah.
You know what answer he gave, Justin?
What?
It was a world problem.
What the?
It was a world. It was a worldwide problem. That's why we had it.
Yeah,
no, but it was all by his policies.
Absolutely.
It was it because if it wasn't for his policies, they would have nominated him to run again. That's why they got rid of him so bad, because his ratings were so low. No one wanted him. They knew they would have got slaughtered if they would have ran him.
Amazing.
So,
well, I'm glad he's gone policy. Now, and thank God for the great white hope.
Yes, sir. Hey, I called in to my congressman. I was hoping he would have gotten a hold of me. I was like, let's hear for our president, President Trump, the great white hope.
Amazing.
But he didn't get to my call, though, Jesse, so
nice.
I couldn't say that. So,
Thank you, Rick. I got to run.
Yes, sir. Thanks for taking my call, man. Love you, man.
All right.
Keep up the good work.
Right on.
Everybody will listen to Just Lee Peterson's show for knowledge today, my brother.
That's amazing. Thank you, Rick.
Yes, sir.
All right, buddy. 888-77-JESSE. Let me go to Brian, our first-time caller out of Michigan. Brian, you are on the air.
Hello, sir.
Hey, Brian. Happy White History Month.
Okay. Happy White History Month. Yeah, I agree.
Right on.
Long-time listener, and I guess only maybe a few months, but I've been watched you and over forever. I just appreciate your show, and you know, after a couple months I finally start going back and listening to the radio show, and so I'm like, man, I gotta at least come on there and say hi and give you kudos. And I'm in Michigan. We're under a air quality emergency right now. It's so cloudy out with smoke from Canada you can't even see or breathe.
Really?
So you gotta be inside. Yep.
Mm-hmm. What a mess.
So I live in Michigan, but I'm from southern Wisconsin. Half my life there, half my life here.
Which you like best, Michigan or Wisconsin?
Definitely Wisconsin.
So why, if it's not too personal, why'd you leave Wisconsin and go to a place like Michigan?
Because of Match.com.
What?
Because of Match.com, the dating site, Match.
No, I've not heard of that. So you found a woman on there?
Yeah, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Oh, no endorsement. And you moved there to be with her?
Yup.
Do you regret it now?
No, not at all.
How long you been with her?
19 years, but we have been divorced for 12 of those years. No, I haven't been with her, but we get along great. But it's been 12 years. So we got two young children still, and they go back and forth.
Does she fight you over your children?
Nope.
Do you, so why are you not with her then?
You only have 15 minutes left on the show, Jesse. She is so masculine. What would you say? Emasculated me? I don't know, but she was tough. I couldn't keep up with her.
Really? She demasculated you?
Yeah, she just always made the rules. And she's very smart, powerful. She's like a firecracker. I guess there's nothing wrong with that, but you...
Why did you marry her then?
I just wanted to be married and have kids, so I did accomplish that.
But you marry her knowing that it wasn't going to work?
No, I did think it was going to. I did.
But why did you think that? Why did you think that if she was so controlling like that?
That's a good question. I don't know. In the end, she just demanded too much from me. I couldn't do it. I just couldn't handle it. And she said, "Okay, I'm leaving."
But you,
she left.
She left you?
Yep, she left me.
Did she leave the children with you?
It's been 50-50, straight down the middle ever since. So at least that. I'm a rare circumstance where actually the divorce was the best thing ever. You know, now we get along better than we ever had. So, anyway.
Amazing. How old are your
children?
Amazing.
13 and 17.
And so I want to ask again, and then I got to run because of time here. Why did you marry her knowing she was like that? Because you had to be working overtime trying to please her before you married her. Why did you think it was going to get better once you married her?
I think that's just a promise that you tell yourself. You know, I waited to get married till I was 36. So I never even had my first child till I was 36. I thought I had it figured out. I really did.
And where did those thoughts come from?
Only God knows.
Were they from you?
I think I thought they were from me. I really do. I think I...
Do you still think that?
No. No. I gave in. I gave in to everything years ago.
Have you stopped listening to thoughts?
Yes.
You have?
All I do is pray, and then, I mean, maybe thoughts come to me, but I don't.
And when you pray, what do you say?
There's a couple little prayers I say every day. One is the Serenity Prayer, which you know probably. And then another... I pray to God to fill me with all vibrations, feelings, and possibilities. I say that every day, a few times a day, just combined with a regular prayer. And
have you forgiven your mother?
Somewhat, yeah. That's funny you ask that, because yeah, sometimes you're right about that situation, and sometimes you're not. But
have you forgiven your mother?
Yes.
You went to her?
Yes,
and you,
probably 5 years ago. Yeah.
And what did you say to her when you went and forgave her?
Almost exactly like you talk about is forgive her for not protecting me from my father, who was not protecting me from her either. You know, it's a circle. It's just a circle, but anyway.
Did you forgive your mother for recreating you in her image? She made you a mama's boy. Did you forgive her for that?
I think I never put it in those words. I don't think I put it in those words because I...
That's one thing that your father didn't like about you and your mother is that your mother made you a mama's boy, and when he tried to make you tough, she would stop that from happening because you identify with your mama. You thought your father was the bad guy.
It's funny when you go back and look back in time. You're probably 85 or 90% right. I don't think you're always right, but I really do believe in your ideologies and your, I do. I appreciate that. It fits in pretty well.
So did you forgive your father for not protecting you from your mother? Because he tried. It's just that he didn't know how to handle your mother either, but he tried. Have you forgiven him?
I think I have forgiven him as much as I ever have been able to.
Did you tell him?
I did.
And what did you say to him?
Just told him I loved him and gave him a hug.
And you didn't apologize for resenting him?
Oh, sure.
Did you tell him that?
I did. He supported me even when I hated him.
Yeah.
He just, and you don't realize that for decades.
Right. Yeah.
You don't.
Well, you stay with it, and I suggest you do the silent prayer, but it's up to you. If you really, really want to overcome those thoughts and the false identities and things, you know about the silent prayer, right?
No.
Rebuildingtheman.com/silent prayer. Rebuildingtheman.com/silent prayer. I recommend when you do your little other little thing you say, be still and know God, Brian, and everything would change for you. If you have forgiven your parent, your whole life would be made clear. You will live a life with a clear mind.
Yeah, I know there's work. I still know there's work to be done.
Yes.
Not always perfect, but hey, the reason, Jesse, we're running out of time, right? Do you want to know the reason I called?
Yes.
Over my lifetime, and let's just say I'm around a half century old, coming from Wisconsin, this word racism comes up my whole life. And I have a little bit different opinion of it, and I agree with you that racism doesn't exist. Like, the only racism I think exists maybe would be some black jokes back in the 80s, like with Eddie Murphy. You know what I mean?
But that wasn't racism.
No, it was fun.
Right.
I mean, just so, we didn't have... Now, I grew up very close to Milwaukee, so... But in a small town, only 2 or 3 black kids in school, you know, not a few Mexicans, but mostly white. But you meet other people around the country. They assume that you're from Wisconsin, you're a redneck, you're a racist, and it's just not true. And
right.
my point of this phone call was to ask you if you have ever heard of the Milton House.
No.
The Milton House is a hotel that was built in 1838 by the Wisconsin border, down by Beloit area, you know, halfway to Chicago. So my hometown is near Chicago, near Milwaukee.
Right.
Anyway, but this small little town, right, 2,000 people still today.
Make a long story short, we're going to be going out in a minute.
Okay, the Milton House. It was a hotel... And the guy that bought it from New York came there and turned it into the biggest part of the Underground Railroad ever. And there's a secret tunnel that goes from the hotel to a shed way in the backyard. And so then they would run the slaves up the Rock River from Chicago and eventually to Canada. So it's called the Milton House. And then I guess we'll pick it up again another day, Jesse. But
absolutely.
it's a famous building and very important. And so my point is, people from Wisconsin, since before slavery, have been against it. I mean, it's you just don't understand. I hate it when I get told that I'm racist. I'm like, are you kidding me?
Well, don't even hate it. You just let it roll off your back. Don't let people say whatever they want and don't respond to it, but don't be angry about it. All right?
Yeah.
All right, bro. I got to run. Thank you, buddy.
Yeah. Hey, nice to meet you. Thank you. Have a great day.
You too now. Super.
Super chat. Super chat.
Nick LaBoy on Rumble with a Rumble Rant asks, how can Steve Hilton win when Republicans won't even pass the Save America Act to prevent Democrats from bleeping? He didn't say a cuss word. I'm just bleeping it out. Our elections by Trump sketchy ballots. He doesn't say sketchy. I'm just traumatized from not being allowed to say fraud and stealing. Oh. But anyway, what is Steve going to do to prevent this?
He's not here right now.
Don't worry, Trump has an announcement or something tonight.
Listen to Trump tonight. And Steve is running for governor in California, so he doesn't need the Republican Party to vote for him. He just needs the voters to get out and vote for him, both Republican, Democrats, and everything else here in California. Thank you.
And thank you, guys. I could be mistaken. You know me. But it may be. I believe that's all for now.
Thank you all. I am two out of time. Stay with it. Stay with it. Stay with it. And Sean and everybody that's on the line, I'm out of time. The Hate Report is coming now. And then the American Anchor Baby. Bye. You better go talk to your mama. Better stop with the drama. Better drop all the drama. Boy, you better stand up and up. Put your hand up and hut. Because if you don't, then we lose. And then we got to hear the fake news. Whoa.
The views, information, thoughts, and opinions expressed during this show are the individual's own and do not represent the views, thoughts, and opinions of the JLP Network or Bond. Their appearance on the program does not imply an endorsement of them or any entity they represent. The material and information presented here is for general information purposes only. The JLP Network and Bond name and all forms and abbreviations are the property of its owner, and its use does not imply endorsement of or opposition to any specific organization, product, or service.
So, here's what I recommend. I invite you to download my silent prayer.
I know some people have called in and they wonder if the silent prayer is working. And I just want to take a second and to tell them that it works. You just have to stick with it.
Yeah.
That's the first thing I started doing before I even forgave my parents. And I was so depressed and suicidal at some times that I just would have to stop in the middle of my job or whatever I was doing and go into the silent prayer. And it really does help. Like, I don't have those anymore.
Amazing. You haven't seen anything yet. Doubt every thought. Bring every thought into captivity. Just let them all pass. Don't judge them. You haven't seen anything. It gets better and better and better and easier, easier, easier. So my gift to you, no charge, at rebuildingtheman.com/church.